Hey, welcome to Crippled System, some sort of episode. This is Bad Horse. That's all I got.
The thoroughbred of sin.
Yes. The thoroughbred of sin.
Somebody, some sort of episode?
I have no idea which number this is.
51.
51.
We were just all talking about it.
Oh, it's such a bad episode.
What?
50. It was just horrendous.
Did you listen to 50?
I didn't listen to it, but I was there for it.
It was
experienced it.
I thought it was fine. We talked about War Machine.
Oh,
we
I don't know. Maybe it was the constant pain I was in last week.
You were dying of your concoction.
It might have been the worst episode for you, but I don't think it was that bad.
As a listener, I'd give it a solid B+.
Yeah. All right. That works.
That's
apparently,
a
one of us said something about parking, and my brother thought it was the funniest thing that any of us have ever said.
I don't know either.
He posted on our Facebook wall. He's like, I've got parking is the funniest thing you've ever said on your podcast. And I'm like, I have no
clue. No one knows what that
means.
Anyway,
been good.
I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418. I play Rat and Legion.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm Major Tusk, and I'm not sure what I play, but I think I'm going to try going back to Trollbloods.
Nice. I'm Dan, Skittles on the forum. I play Crix, Legion, and Menoth.
I'm Nathan. I play badly.
Yes, true story.
You roll badly.
I'm on like a 10-game losing streak.
You've been raging a little bit, although I think...
I've been raging.
Well, that's because you're trying out a new faction and a new list. Like,
yeah.
Usually a new list, you lose anyway a couple of times, and then you're also learning a new faction.
Turned out that list wasn't good.
The angels, the God, spam all
it
the
felt
angels
felt like
list.
It should have been good. It just wasn't pulling it off.
That list...
The double monitors, aiming, sniping out key solos is great, and then yes. They're like, here's anything else. And I'm like, I can't snipe out two heavies.
I can't
heavies.
Do that.
Like, I didn't have anything to deal with that.
Yeah, the monitor is the answer to Aeris. Unfortunately, it's not the answer to a lot of other things. Like, it's great against Aeris, it's great against Gorman. It's probably actually really, really good against the pirate boat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck yeah.
But, like, a
it's
lot
great
of...
against
just,
mercs in general.
Yeah, I could see that. But just in general, lists where what linchpins you have are either way too far back and or... not infantry, it just falls apart. But you know that.
Yeah, no, that's why I am doing instant theory list. I am annoyed Keith changed his carrier group list to be much, much closer to my carrier group list, but it's a tiny amount different, and I think his is better.
Oh, what
and
do
that's
you
annoying.
Think?
It's What's annoying because now the great now I'll be using Keith's list if I change that one model out.
That was how I felt when I changed my Saren list by one model to match JVM's.
Yeah,
but you know what? That one model was strictly better.
Yeah, it probably is. He drops the elimination servitors, and then I had accretion servitors in there just because I had one extra point. So he drops those and puts in a diffuser.
Mm.
Better.
Well, it's better, but not for the reason it seems. Because it's a range 11, pal 11, lucky gun. That's good. It's the hunter's mark, which is good. Mm-hmm. But the real reason it's good is that you can have a prime axiom and then 6 inches in the diffuser and then 6 inches in your other prime axiom. So you have a prime axiom in each of your two zones, and you can still induct focus between them. So it's just a little bridge between the two of them. Your corollary could do that, but then your corollary dies, and that's bullshit.
And that's not acceptable. No. That makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds pretty legit.
So now I'm annoyed. Because he was like, yeah, I changed mine and dropped and put in a bunch more elimination servers. I'm like, ha-ha, he's changing to my list. I'm a big man. And then now I'm going to change to his list.
You're both changing to a new list, which is a coming together of a meeting of minds. Mm.
It sounds like how we all started forming McBain lists.
Yeah, and we all compared McBain lists, and they were all like at most two things off from each other.
Yeah. And then we had to battle each other all that same day. That was fun.
I'm really glad I wasn't there for that.
The pain train.
Mostly because I don't like playing McBain at all, regardless of who I'm playing with.
Oh, he's so good. Oh,
he's such a kick in the... Like, in a time format, it's great, but I've never played McBain when it wasn't a casual game. McBain in a casual game makes me want to shoot myself.
Why?
Well, then just
Because you never win. Like, the thing with McBain is, especially if it's a more casual player, McBain never wins.
No.
He just never... loses.
No, that the McBain usually, like 9 out of 10 games with McBain that I played in tournaments, McBain would hover around his deployment zone being safe, and then you'd attrition a little bit, and then McBain would go 2 feet and kill their caster.
Ah,
because
no, I've never
McBain
had that happen
to me. With Corbeau move and then mobility and then all that shenanigans, he gets way up there, and with Grievous Wounds and Gangfighter, he's just gonna fuck a warlock to death.
And I've never seen it happen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've seen it happen. We've
I believe
it a few
you.
Times. Yeah. But yeah, generally I would say in casual play in our area, though, we don't have that many high competitive mercenary players.
Well Jim and I both stopped playing.
Jim and Nathan were both very competitive, and they both stopped. Yeah,
yeah. That's
Josh has been playing it, but even then, he's been mostly playing Pyroboat lately. So
yes,
yeah. I don't think I know Josh.
You know Josh. You don't know it.
From Chicago
with the galleon and the like the goatee.
He works at
work at Hy-Vee.
His girlfriend's there and knits or crochets sometimes. You'd recognize if he was here in a lineup, and I said that guy, you'd go,
"Oh, that guy." Reddish hair.
Okay.
You'd know him. You would definitely know him.
I wouldn't say that Josh is really that competitive with him, but he doesn't play that competitive. Here's the problem
for Josh rolling into our meta is we've spent the last 2 years being used to like Nathan and Jim, like just destroying us with really super competitive merc play. And in any other meta, he'd probably be a pretty good merc player.
Oh, yeah. He's complained about all the time. About
and in our meta.
All the merc tricks and none of them work.
And in our meta, it's just like, you bother me, kid. Like, we just destroy him. And it's got to, like, he goes to tournaments, he does fine. He just can't win a casual game ever.
Oh, yeah. He was, last few weeks, he's been trying to learn how to do the pirate boat with Shay. And, you know, he's got the Commodore cannon. I'm like, okay, Nicaea runs up and engages stuff. They can't shoot. This scavenger flies up and engages it. Finally got a game.
You have to engage all three of the loaders.
Well, I'd kill them and sprint and everything.
Yeah,
he finally got a game not against me. It comes over halfway through. He's like, God, this gun is amazing.
Yeah.
When it gets to fire, it's great.
Yeah. Although it's funny, that's a trick that people fall for. People will go up and engage just the cannon.
Yeah.
And then you're like, gunner, fire. They're like, your cannon's engaged. And I'm like, the cannon doesn't shoot.
Yeah. Yeah,
the cannon doesn't do anything. This dude over here shoots. He just measures from the cannon.
Yeah. You have to engage him. How 20 spray sucks when you try and engage it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only like rat 12.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, I am playing mercs.
What are you going to start playing them?
I did. I played them last week.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
He played Durgan against Gatsby 3.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Durgan gets Gatsby 3. Surrounding Durgan with Weapon Masters is not a legitimate strategy with somebody with Bone Shaker.
No.
Well, somebody with Bone Shaker and dice that only know what a 6 looks like.
Yes, exactly.
That helps. That does help.
Durgan went down in 2 swings. First attack was double 6s just for the attack, and then trip 6s for the damage. And then the second one was still hit him, and then it hit him for like 8 more damage. So
that sucks.
Poor Durgan.
No more Durgan.
Yep.
Hey, did anybody do anything yesterday?
I did something yesterday. Do you want to talk about what you did, Andy?
I got up way too damn early.
I got drunk and then had to hang around an event until I sobered up. And then finished it out sober.
You should have kept drinking like that. It was way more fun.
The Shay on Shay game was amazing because they were both really drunk
really
at that point
drunk.
In time.
That was like right when we hit the highlight.
It was beautiful.
You were a funny, cute drunk.
Thank you.
She's funny and cute everything.
He has to say that.
He does.
I happen to think it's true.
So we ran a small event up in Madison, Wisconsin at the Merry Mayhem. We ran Who's the Boss.
It was the best.
It was. It was very fun. Pretty awesome. This is different than normal Who's the Bosses at our conventions because it's a charity event. We sell off chances for free respins and all the other shenanigans you could do on the wheel. We added one brand new one, which is the time shift, which you could change your caster back to Mark 1. I know Katie has at least one story for that, if she remembers the game.
I remember. I just started drinking at that point.
Time shift was great.
Yeah. You might not see it in any other.
No, it only works for it.
Although somebody had a good point that at some level, if we wanted to set up charities for the major conventions, we super could.
Just show up at a convention and do the Who's the Boss as a charity.
Who's the Boss as a charity at a convention. There are a million charities that are worthwhile that we could support, and you could do it as a charity. You just have to lock it at 32 players or whatever. You'd have to keep the number of the players smaller, but I think you could do it similar to what we do at Merry Mayhem. And I think I think it might actually be a good thing for the community not to do it at every convention, but it would... Gamers in general don't have the persona of we're the kind of people that do donations. But if you look at Food Machine,
Child's Play,
Child's Play, good example as well. Gamers love to help out their communities, and not always, but a lot of them have a lot of disposable income.
Well, we don't have girlfriends, so
we don't have girlfriends, and we were nerds in high school, so now we have jobs. In general, it's a good bracket for that, and I think it's a good thing for the. for gaming in general, and wargaming specifically, because I don't think 40K necessarily, I think part of why Ben Cohn does 40K Merry Mayhem as a charity, is I think 40K has a bad rap,
fantasy,
too.
Fantasy, but yeah.
Yeah,
fantasy. Mm-hmm. Well, they did 40K as well.
They did 40K as well, yep. But yeah. But yeah, I think they get wargamers especially get a bad rap in that way. Like, gamers get a bad rap, and then wargamers get an even worse rap.
I will say, though, for at least the War Machine side of things, I have seen a lot of charity things around this time. A lot of Second Harvest banks for Food Machine is really big.
Yeah, Food Machine is really big.
They've been doing that for a pretty long time.
Side note, am I the only one who's just really disturbed by food banks called Second Harvest? Like, because of what the Second Harvest is?
No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Second Harvest is a Native American thing where after you eat maize, you go through your poo to find undigested maize, and there's your Second Harvest. Because that's perfectly good food once you rinse it off.
I don't know.
To be fair, there's
also
a biblical Second Harvest.
Is there?
Which is you go through your fields, but you don't go through super carefully, and then you let the children and the widows and the poor go through your fields and get what's left.
That's a better use of that term.
That's probably what they're going for. I could be wrong. I think that's what they're going for.
That could be.
I don't think they're going for
But I had heard of the other one first. It was like it's like in times of famine that was the emergency rations.
That
so
may be true. I'm gonna really hope that's not what Second Harvest comes
It might
from.
Not be what it might not be.
This is a rare moment in our podcast where Jeremy's possibly educating Nathan.
possibly educating anyone.
The Shays might be a little bit more knowledgeable of the Bible than the other members of this podcast.
It is possible in that we've actually opened it before.
Hey, I used to read there's a lot of parts of the Bible that I love and reread. Like I love the miracle of the quail. I love the miracle of the quails.
You would.
That is hilarious to
you
me.
You would.
And I love Proverbs 18:6.
I don't know what that is.
When a fool starts an argument, he is asking for a beating.
Yes, that's a good one, too.
This is the word of our Lord.
Yeah. I remember I actually taught at a Christian summer camp. I was a summer camp counselor at a Christian camp. And you wouldn't believe some of the Bible references that are the only things these kids want to learn. Like, this is taken out of context. There's some incredibly inappropriate comments. And those were the only verses any of my kids ever knew.
Well, anything with, like, you know, somebody with like 12 wives and they're each other's sisters.
Oh, no,
and
no.
Things like that.
Okay,
like
their favorite. I'm going to throw this out there. Most kids, almost every week, the favorite verse that they would bring up was if two men are fighting and one of their wives comes up behind the other and grabs his testicles to incapacitate him, you shall kill her.
Yes, it's true. Don't do that
because
it's rude.
Because that's just rude. Just dirty fighting. Apparently,
wait, this is written verbatim in the.
Yeah,
that is almost. I may be like missing
a verbatim.
No,
that is verbatim.
I'm pretty sure that's verbatim because I heard it a lot.
Like it isn't just like if she helps them. Like it is literally comes up behind and grabs his balls.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's detailed like that.
Yeah, maybe, apparently it was a thing.
Maybe I need to read
this. It's kind of like pork in modern day law. Like somebody writing Leviticus or whatever that had happened to them, and they're like, "This is bullshit." God says, "Don't do that."
Wow.
Yeah, there's some interesting sections.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell it because it's one of my favorite. I already mentioned it. The Old Testament. I love God in the Old Testament because he's angry dad. Like he's like when you're a kid and the dad they'll just beat you with a belt. And the New Testament God is like after you grow up and you'll like smoke a bowl with dad and you guys hang out and you dig each other. Like, you know, your dad goes from an authority figure to a friend at a certain point in your life. You still respect him.
Carry on.
Oh, you have a different relationship.
Sure.
So. Miracle of the Quails. It's in Numbers.
Yep.
The Israelites are wandering. They're about year like 30 of the 40 years. And some of the leaders come up to Moses and they're like, Moses, we're sick of manna. Like, free food from God's great, but we're really sick of eating
free
nothing
magical
but manna.
Bread.
Free magical bread from heaven's awesome and all, but we really want like a nice steak. Like, we're hungry for some meat, specifically. Can you go talk to God and tell him we want meat? So God goes, and Moses goes and talks to God, and he's like, God, they want some meat. And God's like, fine, I'll make meat. And Moses is like, do you think you can make enough meat for everyone? And God's like, I'm God? Which is great.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
God.
A lot,
I think I can do this, buddy. Yeah. So then he makes a bunch of quails, and there's people are like wading like hip deep through quails. They're like, yeah, quails, so good. And they're cooking and eating all these quails. And then God's like, all right, everybody had enough quail? Huh? Had some quail? And they're like, yeah, that was great. She's like, all right, everyone who ate quail, you're fucking dead. And they all die. And he's like, everyone else, quit your bitching and keep walking.
It is pretty close. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the other thing, like, there's little things like that that, like, people don't think about. Like, with the whole manna thing, like, if you kept it for the next day because you just didn't trust that God would, like, give you enough for the next day or, you know, you thought it might get peckish, if you kept it for the next day, it would kill you.
Unless it was on Saturday.
Yeah, well, yes, because on, especially on Saturday, it would last because you couldn't harvest it on Saturday because it's their Sabbath.
Right.
So the Friday manna was good for a day, but all the other manna, you're just dead if you eat it the next day.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Old Testament's an interesting...
There should be a sci-fi story about this.
The miracle of quails is just God saying, quit. You know, it's Dad, I will turn this car around halfway to Grandma's house. He's just like, shut up back there!
It's not, I'll turn this car around, it's, you can get out here.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like when we would be doing trips to Grandma's house and we'd be bickering in the back. Eventually, my dad, he had to watch the road, so he'd just take his left hand on the wheel and his right arm back behind him and just flail it randomly. And whichever kid it hit probably deserved it.
We had some family friends when I was a kid that, no shit, they'd be on road trips. And what it was if they started getting out of control in the back seat, the dad would pull the car over. He'd be like, go get a stick. They'd get out of the car, they'd walk into the woods, they'd bring a stick back, and then he'd switch them with it. Yeah. And then they'd get back in the car
That's
and they'd drive on.
But we are in the south, and you know, they have the big willow trees.
Oh, sting. That'll leave a mark.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we were well behaved.
That only happened once.
abuse.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we jumped over from religion to
where
abuse.
We were.
Who's the boss? Yeah, we went four rounds, kind of standard for who's the boss, because that's what we always do.
Yeah.
We ended up raising $795 off of just the wheel itself.
Yeah, it's not counting raffle tickets.
Yeah, not counting all the raffle tickets.
Not
that'll be announced.
Entry.
Yeah, or entry, yeah. It's just all people donating money for $5 respins, $5 dealer's
emergency
choice.
Respend.
Emergency respend actually has been changed forever because of the event. Because
it was amazing.
It wasn't wacky enough. It was wackier.
Now it's much better. And $10 for the time shift casters as well.
Which were amazing.
We could have probably gone even more expensive with those, but...
Everyone wanted the time shift casters. Yeah. It was really cool.
I think $10 is a good price.
It's a good price.
Because
yeah.
If you go 15, then I think you discourage people from doing it, and then it's not as much fun.
And I run out of change.
Yes. $10 is a good impulse buy one.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's a nice round number, too. You got a 20, you do that, and then also you get 10 bucks, it's perfect to do on another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Or a double cross.
Yep.
Yep. Speaking of double crosses, we had a wonderful event. Basically, I made up the sheets that... had one single achievement that was to betray. It was called Betrayal. The achievement was to betray Jeremy.
Technically.
To double-cross Jeremy.
Crump.
No. It was you.
No. Me. Crump needs to know that he can
he
fuck
doesn't
up
listen
things
to this.
By not showing up. Like, that's how good he is. If he's there, he's going to ruin it. And if he's not there, that ruins it.
He still ruins it.
Like, that's a talent he has.
So I was Crump all day.
Yeah. Originally, Crump said he was going to be coming down to the event. And so I made specialized sheets for him to be, you know, to be basically double-crossed all day. And everybody gets an achievement point if you double-cross Crump. And then Crump's sheet would have been just be Crump.
It was revel in your in his glory. Be Crump.
Yeah. So,
My favorite part about that is I had set up with you beforehand about how we were going to double cross Jeremy into just a terrible caster. And so I went up there and I was like, dealer's choice. And you didn't remember it all. And so you're like trying to figure it out.
And the four of us who knew it was coming were laughing because you couldn't remember who it was. But I couldn't say anything.
But we still set it up good.
Eventually.
We got there.
And in fairness, you also forgot to double cross until after you spun.
No, I didn't.
No, to dealer's choice until after you started spinning.
Yeah, you spun it, and then you were like, oh, I'll dealer's choice.
Oh, that's because I didn't know when you were supposed to do dealer's choice.
Technically before you spin.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I wasn't clear on the rules.
They're clearly displayed in a giant poster.
I
so,
understand.
Steamroller 2013, you have to be more aggressive.
Yeah, that's a thing. I didn't know if you knew that.
Cutting edge of strategy.
That's what you come to Crippled System for.
So are we gonna? Do we get to talk a little bit about like our cool Who's the Boss days?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's fine.
I mean, I had a great day. Obviously, I got double-crossed every single game because there was an achievement for it. I got to play a game against Ben Lang, who we've talked about before on the podcast, but he's a sweet guy. And
guy's a shithead.
He got like half the achievements for the entire Who's the Boss in his game against me. Like, he just rolled me over because he was playing with Mark 1.
Glad 2.
Yes, Mark. That was Tony.
Okay.
I faced some pretty powerful casters throughout the day. No, he was playing with Mark 1, Terminus. So he had Mark I Terminus with transfers. So he was just this ungodly killing machine who, by the way, I also couldn't kill and didn't take free strikes. Yeah. Like, it was just murderous.
Because
flight is on the card. Because
flight is on the card.
Yeah.
So that happened. But it was still a really great game. And then my second game was against Tony from Chicago, who rolled in Mark I, Vlad II.
With what faction?
Two Tonys.
With Retribution, which turns out is pretty good.
There are two Tonys in Chicago.
Oh, that's true. Not Team Age. Tony, was it Faber?
Yeah.
Faber. And then my third round was against Katie, who had Rask, who it turns out pretty legit. And then,
he's a good circle caster.
He's an amazing circle caster. And then my fourth round was against Greg from Chicago, one of Team Age's friends, who was playing Convergence, being led by Ashlyn. Like, that was my day. From start to finish, that was my day. But I had a blast. I had a super good time. My game against Katie, we were both pretty roaringly drunk, which was also super enjoyable. And, had a good time.
My favorite part about that is Team Age was playing on the table next to us, and he's like, I feel like I'm about to get roped into a three-way. And then Jeremy responds, at Adepticon.
I may not have been completely listening to what Tony said.
And then
you
pause for a minute and then continued a sentence. It's very weird.
Yeah. I had a good time. Katie almost didn't kill me because I emergency respawned into Borka as she was beating the crap out of me with
a pure blood stock.
It was a pure blood warp wolf. With my caster paralyzed because of Rask's gun. And I was spun into Borka, and then I toughed on a roll from Andy, and then I toughed on a roll from Nate, and then I toughed on my own roll, and then Keith pointed out that Katie could trample over her stalker, and it could take four more
seconds. Stalker could go ghostly. I knew he could go ghostly.
I couldn't remember how I could make him move 9 inches because he couldn't see him to charge, and I forgot trample was a thing.
It's a pretty good thing, as it
turns
out.
So I was sitting there looking at my stalker, thinking about how I could get over there, and I kept wanting charge to be a thing.
Turns out charge requires line of sight.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my day. I had a really good time. It was super fun. Do you want to stop playing Candy Crush for a minute and talk about your day?
No, she's busy. I'll talk about things that happened that I saw that I enjoyed.
Okay.
My day was mostly boring because I played... I didn't play the first round because I was odd man out. Then somebody dropped, and I played the second round, and I played against one of Team Age's friends who... This event doubled the number of games he's played of War Machine, which is not exactly how you learn to play War Machine. But he was a great guy. He got Karchev with transfers, which is always terrifying. But as a Convergence player, I got Resnik, who not only starts at mat 7, but he has Engine of Destruction that makes himself mat 11, which means his entire battle group is mat 11, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
I ended up getting Engine of Destruction Resnik onto Karchev, and that was that. Although Karchev had used Shifting Stones to get up to a jack, and Karchev teleporting around to murder heavies is a little terrifying. And then I played against Jordan Nock, and he desperately wanted to time shift. So he rolled, I forget who his first roll was, but it was somebody who did not have a Mark One. So he did a respin and rolled into Aurora, who obviously also does not have a Mark One. So then I spun and I got Constance Plays, who also does not have a Mark One. So not only could he not Mark One, even if he double crossed me, he starts to think about double crossing me. And Constance Blades and Aurora are the exact same caster.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
They're literally the exact same caster. They both have a plus 2-inch speed charge thing. They both have transference. They both have Flashing Blade. They both have... Well, and so the interesting thing was he had to think about, because Constance Blades was one higher mat and rat for my army than Aurora would have been. But if he double-crossed me to reduce the mat and rat, then I would have actually had flank because I had angels with me.
Yeah.
but the highlight of that game was actually that he offered to buy me a beer, and I told him to get me a Spotted Cow, and so I introduced yet another person to Spotted Cow, which is always Andy's and my favorite thing about going to other events is bringing Spotted Cows because they're delicious.
The amount of blind Russians that went out after I brought mine back was pretty amazing.
VFW undercharges for drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very blind Russian, generally, when I get one, is about $7 to maybe $12. Because it's, a high alcoholic drink, plus they add in a shot because it's for the Baileys.
Yeah.
That drink there was $4.25.
Yeah, that is way undercosted. And then I played another game. I played against Tony Faber. I forget who is... I had Rask and he had Harbinger. No, he had Old Witch. And so Rask feeded and then Old Witch feeded and that made me sad. And then he killed me to death.
Yeah.
But, my favorite parts were seeing some of the other combos, mostly Mark 1 combos. I won't steal Katie's, that was good. But Keith had Mark One Rias, so he had the old the old Rias feat, which anybody who played Mark One, if you remember the Rias Warchief, the only thing that makes Rias Warchief worse is when instead of a berserking Warchief, it's a berserking stalker that can buy more attacks. So he had just a berserking stalker teleporting around things, and it murdered units upon units.
Yeah, he got 23,
I think. Got 22, actually, and that's just because it rolled five fives in a row against some low defense unit, and that, you know, basically had it was one hop away from getting into like defense 13 garbage units and killing. Gosh. If it got there, it killed 20 more things.
Yeah.
But so that was good. And the other one was Malachi, one of our local players, a next generation of War Machine players. Yes. He's like 11 or 12 now.
Yeah,
he had a conquest that had Mark 1 Denegra 2, who used Dark Influence to steal a unit of Rangers. If there's Yikes. One thing the conquest needs, it's plus 2 rat everywhere and, you know, Denegra's feet. And what's great is Mark 1, Denny 2, any units near her get minus 2 command, and that sure fucks with Mark 2 formation.
Yes, it does.
Like, if you're within 2 inches of being out of formation, she just wanders up near your leader, and all of a sudden none of those models can attack.
Yeah.
They're out of formation. You can't attack.
That's terrible.
It was great.
But yeah, it was a good time.
All right, so let's see. Round 1, I played against Keith. I'm looking forward to hearing tomorrow about just how bad I did. But because, I mean, you know, he's a good player, but he didn't need to be a good player to beat me. I threw away a Reckoner for no reason. Then the next turn, I threw away a Fire Salvation for no reason. Then I actually finally started playing.
Dan, I heard that this wasn't your fault, that whoever set up the terrain on that table was an idiot who made it really asymmetrical so that one person had a shitty side compared to the other.
I also build the fucking city board, so that was me.
Oh, right.
Oh, right, that was him. He did that.
I swear I forgot about that when I brought that up.
So, game was going bad, so emergency respin number 1 of the day. You're like, okay, Butcher, Rias, Thyro would even be good, because I was playing against Harkovich in Circle, which Escort in Hordes is awful.
Yes.
Escort with Stalkers is really fucking
even
bad.
Worse.
Instead, I roll Calandra with no feet left.
Starcrossed isn't bad against, I mean...
Well, at that point...
Time shifter to Mark 1 Befuddle, because Mark 1 Befuddle was insane.
At that point, it wouldn't have even helped me. Okay. So instead, I just tried to go for a knockdown and then roll the 3 and then roll the 2 on a reroll.
Oh,
that's good.
That's strong.
Yeah. So that went bad.
Yeah.
Round 2, I was playing against Ben Lang. I had Morten Ebra, which normally in Manoff is pretty good.
Pretty strong.
Then he ran an Agonizer forward and stopped my assassination run because my Righteous Vengeance move didn't kill the Agonizer, even though it was dice plus 4.
Oh, jeez. Doesn't interface work get around that?
No. Interfaces do not work for Hordes.
Well, okay. Plus the problem is I would have to be spending it as I go, not storing it up. So,
never mind. Interface does work with War Machine. Yes,
if I wanted to beat, you know, I don't even remember who his caster. Oh, if I wanted to beat Madrek to death and I was already there, that would be one thing. Okay. But having to move up kind of stopped that.
Yeah.
Well, you have to run Morten Ebra up to next to Madrek, then run, then get your beast base to base with her in melee range with Madrek, and then you can interface.
Yeah, that would not happen. So then. Lose most of my army, so emergency respin number 2. Get into Mark 1, Kruger 1.
Ooh.
Did you have your feet?
No.
You're killing me, Smalls.
So that was useless. There was also a Swamp Gar cloud between me and Madrek, so I couldn't discharge in. Time number 2, where the Butcher or Rias or Thyro would have saved me. Round 3, I played against Davis. Which started a fun little bidding war, because he had Syntherion and I had Gorshade 1. I double-crossed him because I wanted synergy. He double-crossed me back because he wanted synergy. Then we both pulled our wallets out and compared how many 20s each of us had.
To see who would win the bidding war.
Realized that he was going to win, so we just left it as it was.
It's not how much you have, it's how much you're willing to bet.
Yeah.
I wanted some raffle tickets. So anyways, that game went into a complete grind fest because it was Circle or Signar with Syntherion versus Menoth with Gorshade 1. At the end of the game, we had Gorshade 1, a Reckoner, a Junior, and I think that was it on the board. I've never seen 5 heavies get lost in 2 turns before.
Oh, so you must have got that achievement then.
No, because 3 of them were mine.
So he got the achievement.
But that finally ended with the Reckoner, which was the last remaining Jack on the board, beating Cynthirion to death.
Yep.
Then round four, I played against Malachi.
Okay.
Bankruptcy is bad when there's a conquest. Because a conquest should never be Arm 23 the entire fucking game.
No, it should not.
Wait, how was that?
Arcane Shield.
Oh, Arcane Shield. Oh, crap.
And I had Lanterns, which was good at first because my Adrians were like, okay, cool, they can die, and then I'll get souls. Yeah. Then Malachi killed off the whole unit.
And then
so I'm sitting there with 17 focus and nothing to do.
Yep.
So Emergency Respin number 3 comes out, and I get Santa Lilith. So not only do I lose two-thirds of my focus, but she does jack shit for my army.
And Santa Lilith, for everyone that doesn't know, is Lilith 3.
Lilith 3, yeah.
So I load up all three of my jacks, which Lanterns had been hiding behind so I didn't get crit-dev'd.
Yeah.
Charge them into the conquest, don't even do half its grid.
Nope.
And then just walk forward to die to a Great Bear.
So here's my question. Why weren't you running Ares 2 in your list?
For the hell of it.
Always run Ares 2 at Who's the Boss. There's so many upkeeps that are not okay in some factions.
So my two goals for the entire day were, number one, to spend all $100 that I brought with me.
Accomplished.
Yep. And then thing number two is find out what buffs can break Idrins. However, after four rounds and seven casters, Krios 1 with Defender's Ward and Knockdown still beats everything else.
Yeah.
Something you already have in faction.
What's his name? The guy that puts out the clouds in your also in your faction.
High Reclaimer.
High Reclaimer is also decent, good.
Although part of that's going to depend on what the devs come back on how Prey interacts with Revive. Or not Revive.
Yeah, that is a weird, Reclaimer's weird interaction.
Because it's really weird. Currently, if the Huntsman guy dies, Prey's still technically on the table, just nothing can take advantage of it.
And then if you bring him back, you get the prey again?
Well, the issue, is what happens is if the prey dies in between those two things.
Does he get
if
to reassign it?
If the Huntsman dies, then the prey is wiped out. You don't have anybody with the prey ability, so you don't assign a new prey target. Then the Huntsman comes back. Does he then get to assign a prey target or not?
I would think so.
Weird. But the rules for prey say assign a new prey target when your prey target dies
or at the start,
of the game. And neither of those says when the Huntsman becomes an existing model again.
Right.
I would think that it would be, though, because it's...
Well, I mean,
it makes sense in your gut, but nothing in the rules supported it. And that's why it's checking instead of no.
Yeah, because that makes his assassination run even worse, because then up to a point you might even just kill off your Huntsman at some point.
To bring him back and just pray their caster.
Exactly. You know, like killing your own Tartarus with the old Gatsby, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after that, then I bought $40 worth of raffle tickets, threw it in the bin, and walked out with a 35-point Convergence Army.
I was going to say, it worked out for you.
Yeah, you got that Convergence Army for cheap.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you profited on the day.
I did.
Yeah, that was a cool win. I was glad there was a Warhammer player that won a bunch of the prizes for the War Machine stuff. Like he'd only
won last year's War Machine Army.
And won, and he'd thrown in not that many tickets.
Oh, he won last
year's
War Machine Army.
No,
because Warhammer went to Emil.
Last year, Emil ended up getting the War Machine Army for one ticket that he put into the raffle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was really glad that some random guy who was just going to eBay it didn't wind up winning the army. I was glad it was someone that will actually play it, so...
And that was one of the three factions I didn't own starting yesterday.
That works out then.
Excellent. Excellent.
My first day, or first game I played with Gary Full. I don't know.
He's your new bestie.
He isn't.
What?
Mm-mm.
That didn't last long.
They broke
Keith
up
and
hard.
I are besties again.
Oh, that's good.
They reconciled.
I told Keith that he was no longer my bestie, and he gave me a sad face, so I broke it up with Full.
Well, then Full didn't want to be your rebound bestie either.
He pretends, but I know he hurts inside.
Yeah, on the inside, it hurts him.
But anyway, it was fun because I got Aurora and he got Butcher 3, so that was pretty good.
Aurora seems less good when she doesn't have angels to flank.
Could I stop to mention a key word of the day, which is hypocrisy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know what he's talking about.
Because there was a certain noisy item sitting on the table, and before we started recording, I was playing with it, and Andy's like, you give that to me. And I'm like, I won't play with it while we record. He's like, you give it to me now. So I gave it to him, and now this whole time Katie's talking, I just hear click, 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 because Andy's over there playing with the noisy item.
It's not so noisy. I just didn't want it to break.
Anyway, go on, Katie.
Okay.
But anyway, that was a funny game because both Gary and I haven't played. You guys are ridiculous. don't play that often, so we kept asking each other rules of the game, and neither one of us
not
knew.
Not knowing.
Blind leading the blind.
Pretty much. But anyway, Butcher ended up killing Aurora because I just charged her. Because there's an accomplishment for go down swing to make a successful charge against their enemy caster with your caster.
And then lose.
And then lose, and that's what I did.
Hey. Achievement granted.
That achievement's just as important as winning the game.
It is. It's a
point's a point.
More so, because you can only get the achievement for winning a game once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was a good change, by the way.
Yeah, I might change how the caster kills work, too, because you get more points for just doing a caster kill, so technically you're getting more points for winning.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
But yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. And then my second game was against Team Age, and I got Constance Blaze, who was the exact same caster as Aurora.
You could have the caster kills not have any points whatsoever and just be the trophy each round.
Yeah, that's what
you should have respawn one of those two times.
Yeah, well, the second
the
time.
Second
the
time,
first
really.
Time, she didn't
I didn't
know
realize
was
they were the same caster.
They are the same.
They
and
are
then
the
I got
same
to the
person.
Table, and I was like, well, shit.
Yeah, I don't think... I didn't know that they were actually the same at all.
Oh,
I
yeah,
never even
the,
played...
They're really
Aurora's
solid.
Aurora's actually a little bit better, because she at least got to admonish my guys around.
And you right. can actually use her feet.
Yeah.
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 No, it's... well, yeah. Anybody who had played Mercenaries and then played Convergence, which I understand is not the biggest Venn diagram ever, instantly saw that when Aurora came out. I even accidentally, I call Aurora Connie all the time just by mistake. I'll just aggravate, like, Connie will do this, Connie will do that. Oh, I mean, Aurora, whatever, same lady.
Connie with wings.
Connie with wings and weird right, cyber
so
chaps.
I play Connie in Signar, and my entire list is built around Storm Nouns because then I have victim stats that actually mean something. So what can I use for Convergence for that?
All their medium infantry ever.
Oh, well, you said you wanted victim stats.
Oh, you want intentional victim stats?
But you yes. don't want intentional death with Aurora.
That's
the
true.
Only difference.
That's true.
The only difference yeah. between the two of them.
Yeah, because she doesn't have the same...
And don't worry, if you want victim stats, just run Convergence Infantry.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I wrecked some Convergence Infantry this I one of my games.
Yeah.
My fourth game.
I anywho,
game
going back
so
to my
anyway,
story
back
that
to
I
Katie.
So
sorry. Sorry.
Listened to your guys'
yeah,
for. But the best thing about that is Jeremy came over to watch, and we started playing a team game where he told me to... Emergency respin, and then I got what's his face?
She got Horlock Doomshaper Mark One Number Two.
Yeah,
Rage
yeah.
of Doom. Rage
and
of Doom.
So he had a Earth or not an Earthborn. The
Molg.
He had Molg up on my caster, and so I took the new caster and I hit him. And you have to do damage, which is actually pretty hard. But I got him, and then he went and
do damage to do what?
To take control of him and make a full advance onto his caster.
A charge, even
a
better.
Charge onto his caster. It was so good. And then that still didn't kill him, and so I had to go in with the pure blood, and it was funny because Keith was like, don't worry, Tony, the pure blood never kills anyone, and it killed him. So it was so good.
That was under Doomshaper 1's feet, so he had double speed, plus he had...
he didn't need it. He just needed to get Ghostly
well,
to get through the building.
And he had Wraithbane, so he was blessed so he could get around Iron Flesh, and he had something else, too, he'd put on him. Oh, doesn't he have, like, Fury or something?
He didn't. It was not Fury, but it's pretty much the same. He got something ridiculous added.
Doomshaper's damage buff, whatever it is.
Doomshaper 2 was pretty good in Mark 1.
Yeah, yes. Sounds like.
He was a very, very hard-hitting strike-first caster, Mark 1.
And his bond was hilarious.
Yes.
Every attack is a power attack of your choice. So you, with your Fury 5 beast, you'd be like, I'm going to make 7 double-handed throws.
Yeah.
And you just walk up and you're going to start whipping them. Well, especially with Mark 1 knockdown, like if you're immune to knockdown, it's just nothing bad happened to you. And so you would make the troll cavalry immune to knockdown and just throw all 5 of them. He'd just walk up and go, oh, you guys, go up there! And then they'd all land and then just slam shit. It was fair and balanced.
Yeah, sounds like.
But anyway, that was a fun game. But I did feel a little bit bad for Tony because he played a team game at the end.
Only for like 3 minutes.
For the part where you're like, emergency respin, Katie.
This well, was Team Age?
No, yeah, she's playing against Team Age.
You guys had the touches and Team Age
yeah,
threesome
it was kind of a
thing you wanted.
See, we were prepping him for later.
Yeah.
And then for my third game, I got Rask. I played against Jeremy. That was really fun. I beat his ass.
It was really bad.
It's really, really good.
Is that his fetish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Circle. And then the fourth game, I played somebody who'd only played like 3 times. His name was Sean.
Mm-hmm. He was one of Teenage's friends.
I don't remember who my first caster was, but they were not good with Circle. And then I emergency race ban into Borka and am now aware how good Paralysis is as a spell.
No, Paralysis was on Rask. You knocked him down with Borka.
Knocked him down with Borka. The yeah. one where she gets to knock people down.
Yeah, Borka's just like, hey, all of you, your melee attacks.
Yeah, his army has knocked down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Turns out it's pretty good.
Like, when I first got her, I was, like, looking at it, and I was, him, whatever. Yeah. Why does his name end with an A, then?
Borka?
Borka.
People can't have names that end with an A and be male?
Not in Spanish.
Okay.
anyway,
carry on.
But like I was looking at it, I was like, "This is okay." Like, and then I started using it, and I was like, "This is amazing." Yeah. Anyway, so I killed it.
Borka faster. Only has three spells in a spell list, but boy, are all three of them amazing!
Yeah, Mosh Pit, Iron Flesh,
His third one's really good too. But I always forget what
Windfall.
It is.
Windfall.
Okay, I don't remember.
Windwall,
which is better.
Yeah,
Windfall.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all three amazing.
But I'm going to take this moment to segue into a quick Katie's Corner. Don't move your caster forward unless there's a good reason to do it. Because this caster was out of reach. I couldn't get to him, and then he moved him 2 inches forward for no reason.
Yeah. He was like behind a flag, and he moved in front of the flag so that he could also be behind a wall. But then he was 2 inches closer behind a wall.
Well, was he at least then? So he moved forward for a reason, but it was not a good reason.
Not a good reason.
Okay, yes.
But make sure that if you move your caster forward into charging range of a stalker, per se, that it is for a very, very good reason.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there are very few reasons good enough to go into the charge range of a stalker.
Winning.
Yeah. If this move win me the game, no, then I'm not moving into the charge range of a stalker on purpose.
Yeah.
Or Terminus on full camp with Beyond Death.
Yes.
Stalkers and then aren't. Hope that you roll average.
Yeah. Stalkers aren't any good. Pagani tells me ferals are better.
I asked T-Mage, because he writes mathematical articles, if the feral was good mathematically, and he said yes. And I said, is the stalker good mathematically? And he said yes. And I said, is the stalker better than the feral mathematically? And he said, stop asking me weird questions.
Fair. She was asking him this in the middle of the game they were playing against each other.
That was actually a really enjoyable game to be right next to.
Anyway, that was my day. It was really good.
It was fun times. All right.
Well, that's that. We don't have any. Do we have a topic before our metric shit tons of Zappity Grumbles?
Not really much of another topic. I do have three battle reports from. I kind of gathered some people during the event to kind of give their
review.
Are
we going to throw that in here, or will that be a separate thing?
It can be at the end. Whatever.
We can probably... I don't know.
It may be a separate thing. You'll know when you listen whether it's there or not, so you let us know.
More to come.
It'll probably be another 0.5. Okay. Nathan and I will probably record something.
Sweet. Intros and outros.
Sounds good. I look forward to hearing that. Who all did you get?
Nathan and...
Jordan. Opponent.
Yep. I don't remember.
I remember I was...
Chad and T-Mage. Gad and T-Mage.
Nice.
And Jordan and then some other pair of people.
Davis and Tony Faber.
Okay. I know I was supposed to do it one round. I think it was at my game with Tony Faber. We were supposed to do it, but my games went long the other two rounds. So
yeah. The final round, I'm basically running around trying to pack up the damn plates.
Yeah, no.
Totally. That was the only issue about the venue is that... We had to set up the day of and to tear down the day of.
I will say, though, that venue was amazing. It was a really nice venue. I really liked being there. And it. There are very few places that would be as convenient to run it as that was. Because it had the bar there, which some of us were partaking in. It was really easy. I mean, they brought in food, obviously. And
there
it was
actually space.
And there was plenty of room for the food.
It didn't feel crowded at all.
It was a great venue.
There was actually a bar in the hall
itself. Yeah, in the hall.
Hypothetically. Like, there was an actual bar. You go through a door, and
there's
a bar.
Oh, there was one in our area?
In our room. Yeah, the behind the back tables, like at the back of it, there's an actual bar there. So, hypothetically, you could actually just pay them an extra $50 or whatever
and sell your own booze.
And have a bartender there.
I did not know that.
I'm not sure how that would work, but that's something that exists.
I think we should experiment one time, to have an event at a place like that and have an open bar.
Open bar would be too expensive.
You're talking like at least a grand.
Yeah, open bars are. As someone who
but
had a wedding.
But the thing is, though, we could probably get people to to pay the an extra amount if there is a
thing. Well, then what's the point of having it be an open bar?
Plus, there's people like me and Brian who don't really drink.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't want to pay the extra fee for, like...
Yeah, that's the hard part.
It's like, I could get people to pay an extra $10 if I had Papa Bear's Barbecue cater at a Misty event or something, because everybody eats.
Well, that's because I want to get my games in on time.
Everyone except Pat.
No, they can bring, like, a rutabaga or something and say, there you go, that's Pat's food.
A cheeseburger if he doesn't like barbecue. A cheeseburger,
yeah. you could give him... Like, he could give you his money, and
it
then
was
you could
my
buy him a cheeseburger
and
things.
I dropped it on the ground, and
Pat
he graciously gave it back to me.
Pat finds money on the ground. You demand it. He gives it to you, so you buy him a cheeseburger, and he's a vegetarian.
Here's the whole story. No, it's not the whole story. There's a beginning of the story that no one ever tells.
Before Pat found money, she coincidentally lost money at some previous point in time.
No, I had showed you guys. I had a $20 bill that Jeremy had given me for whatever reason. I had $20. I showed it to you guys for whatever reason.
Good story, Ben.
Seems awful convenient.
This cool story brought to you by Bro Incorporated.
And then Pat found $20 on the ground, and I said, I think that's mine, and I turned out my pockets, and I was like, see, because look, I don't have my $20 that I just showed you guys, and he was like, that makes sense, and gave me the $20 bill.
And then Pat bought him murdered animal flesh.
Yes.
Which I would have approved of.
Which everyone would have approved of, except a vegetarian.
Well, but he's a vegetarian because his girlfriend's a vegetarian. He's not a vegetarian because...
When you were a vegetarian, you've told me the story of the one time you went to Wendy's when you were, like, being an active vegetarian. How did that work for your stomach?
Well, yeah, but my point is he wasn't, like, offended by the fact that I offered him meat. He
did
just...
your Wendy's trip work better or worse than drinking your own drink last week?
Drinking my own drink?
That drink you made last week for the podcast.
No, Wendy's had the opposite effect.
That drink would have killed you in Oregon Trail. Katie has died of dysentery. Katie drink.
That will not be at the party.
No, it won't be.
Will you be at the party, Dan?
Still not sure.
Oh, yeah. I asked you yesterday.
Correct.
Yeah, you probably did because he was there. All right. If we're going to get through all these Zappity Grumbles, we should get started because there are quite a few.
We should make them as quick as possible.
All right. We'll go
fast.
We always say that. All right.
Begin 10-minute rants.
This time for reals, yo.
So we'll start going this way. Can Jeremy only get it up once a month, or do they bang constantly and he can only please you once every 30 days? I think that one might be directed at Katie.
Oh, wait. We can't all answer individually our own experiences?
But yeah, Katie can answer first.
That's segregational. To say that only I can answer.
Wow. So that's your answer then?
I'm going to say neither.
I won't be specific, but Jeremy only pleases me once a month.
He can't afford me.
I abstain.
I will also abstain.
Zappity.
Grumble. Oh, son of a bitch.
Haley won. As a Crix player preparing for a tournament in which I will certainly face her, what is my best answer? We'll go this way this time.
Play Who's the Boss? Haley won. Your best answer?
In Crix.
Gorshade 2 and a Kraken.
That is a good answer.
Shoot the bitch from range.
Yeah. I was going to say the Denny 2 pirate boat.
Even Gorshade 2.
Gorshade,
just regular Gorshade.
A Denny with a pirate boat, Gorshade 2 with a Kraken, or Mordenebra with a Leviathan.
Ooh.
Also,
a very good answer.
Just a Leviathan is a good choice.
But Leviathan on Mordenebra is great because it can like shoot. It can murder because it gets six focus off of her.
She's got to be camping to dodge the stalker or scavenger that's coming in from the flank.
Right.
Yep. All good answers. Katie, you have a good answer for that one?
Is she the one that gets to choose your movement and the one that you can't move?
The one you can't charge. Move.
Which Crix is normally melee heavy, so.
Shifting Stones.
There you
Crix.
Go.
Bring shifting Stones bring would shifting be good stones. In Crix. Yes, that's true.
Sweet, I want to use your Crix.
All right.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Can Asterius, Sybil of Dawn, and Imperatus move Retribution up to a top faction? Hells yes.
I have no idea what that means.
Don't we not know who any of those things do?
We know they're amazing.
We know their names.
We know they're amazing.
Okay, yeah. Then, wow, that fictional thing you made up is sure great. I'm glad it has ability X that you made up also.
Stupid internet, stupid.
Mer.
Zappity.
Grumble.
There we go.
Whoa!
War Machine Dance Party. Who's DJing?
Thunderhead?
Borka. That chick knows how to party.
that may be my new favorite quote. That may go in my sig.
Yeah, that pretty much tops it. Right there.
Anyone?
No, that was it. Oh, Zappity.
I think Katie should Zappity and Dan should grumble.
Okay, we'll allow it. Have you seen the Mega Man board game on Kickstarter?
I've seen the Mega Man cartoon.
Now that theme song stuck in my head. All six words of it. Wait, no. Four words. It's four fucking... Yes, I have.
I have. Not interested.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks somewhat interesting, but not enough Mega Man X. Not enough. I'd much rather support the other game that the guy who
Mighty
created
number
Mega
nine.
Man, Mighty Number 9, yeah.
I was never a Mega Man X guy. I always liked the main one.
I started with X, so...
Although my Something Awful Forum avatar is a Mega Man X fake boss, which is Punch Donkey. And he just has a boxing glove on a spring that punches himself in the back of the head.
Wow. No comment.
Already answered. Oh, Zappity.
Grumble.
Do you think the new Jackson Vengeance will be more of the same or welcomed upgrades?
I have no idea what that means.
The Cedar's going to be a non-reach heavy that's going to cost at least 10 points, so no. But the other ones look cool.
I'd say Manoth is getting a Guardian with a shield and reach for probably 8 points, so yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what new Jacks are coming out, because there's a lot of options out there, and I like more options.
Neither of my factions is getting dick all this book.
That's
so
true.
Buy a real faction.
Fuck you.
The character Phoenix... I think is going to be really good for Red.
Are we talking about the goat that's coming out?
No.
No.
The new Jax in Vengeance. So see when I said Jax?
So
I thought maybe we could expand the question.
No, there's more Jax with the Jax of Renown.
Yeah, new basically. Stormclad, new Guardian, new Seether, and new Kodiak.
And okay. New Phoenix.
No, he's an apotheosis Jax.
Well, yes, but...
Exactly. All
right. Perfect. How bad is the weather in Madison?
It's actually pretty good. It's like in
better.
The 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
nice. It is a better.
A week ago, it was -5, and fuck it. We need snow.
We have snow.
We need more snow. We need not like a quarter of an inch everywhere. We need like a good solid foot or two, but none of it on the road.
So all the roads in Wisconsin are basically white, and it's not because it's snow.
Yeah, that's all salt layer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What are you
Whoever salted our
Facebook hung.
Whoever salted our driveway...
Salted a lot.
Holy cow. It's just everywhere. It's like walking over Rice Krispies getting to our door.
That's because they would rather overuse salt than pay if somebody trips and
hurts themselves.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but a couple of years ago, the state ran out of salt.
Yep.
So that's a thing we need to be aware of.
Do you remember a few years ago when they tried to use beet juice?
That was, I think, the same year.
That was terrible.
Yeah, they ran out of salt, so they're just throwing any random.
There was
shit
just
they
like red snow everywhere.
Well, what I liked most about it though is that we had a really heavy snowfall that December, and got to January, and they're like, we've hit our budget for the year for snow.
We're like, it's January.
Was that the same year that they decided to plow all the residential streets before the main drags?
I don't remember. I know
that year
was
also
year.
Fucking retarded.
It was the year that they only ever plowed one. Like Fish Hatch only had. One lane plowed.
I think that was the same year, because I remember driving down Mineral Point and my car was scraping on the ground.
I'm going to boil this down to Madison doesn't take care of their roads, and on top of it, apparently the people in Madison, despite getting snow every year, forget how to drive in it in the 6 months we don't have it.
Oh, that's all of Wisconsin.
Recall Walker.
I don't think that's the problem.
Recall Walker.
I support this message. Zappity.
Crumble.
Bad Seeds. Good theme force or best theme force?
I like it. I really like Bad Seeds. I've just never played it.
As a Signar player, I agree. I have all those models already.
Yeah, it's solid. It's one of the. It's definitely one of the top five Merc theme forces, for sure.
Which one is Bad
Might
Seeds?
Be top three.
That's Magnus.
It's Magnus running a Signar army.
Oh, yeah,
Magnus. It's literally just shitloads of Signar stuff. Magnus in charge. He gets an ambushing unit.
Sword Knights.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really good theme force.
Yeah, it's like, take this solo that you need and a unit that you need. Have a bonus.
It's like the Shade theme force where it's like, yeah, why the hell wouldn't I?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do anyway. Yeah.
There's a Futurama episode that's now out on Netflix where they have seats in it.
I'm really glad we have Katie here for Zappity Grumble. Really,
you know what,
really.
Katie? Go back to Candy Crush.
Zappity
Grumble.
What is the best caster in Signar without a Stormwall?
Why are there all these Signar questions?
Because we have Signar fans, apparently.
God, why do we have Signar fans?
Was it Haley?
Shouldn't they know better?
One of the Haleys.
Sure. I think that's wrong.
Best caster in Signar is going to be Haley no matter what you put under her.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? No, Kane 2. Kane 2 will get shit done.
Exactly. Kane 2 doesn't want a Jack.
Kane 2 doesn't want a Stormwall yet.
Yeah.
I agree. And he's good.
I take care of Sloan.
I take care of
Sloan. God damn it, Andy.
Andy, I'm not moving on.
Stephanie, grumble.
That was amazing. All right, we'll start with Nathan. Or no, we'll start with Andy for this one. Packers, another magical season?
Another Holy miracle shit, season.
Yeah,
today was stupidly awesome. Here's my story. Jim and I started watching the Packers. Got up closer to halftime. It was 26-3. And so Jim's like, I'm sick of this. And he goes running off home. I'm like, I'm taking a fucking nap. I wake up. The Packers are within 5 points. And they end up intercepting the ball and
winning
the damn game.
Intercepting the ball twice because they intercept, score, and then pick off again.
Yes, which is
amazing. That's what happens when you're playing against Tony Romo.
Yeah. My girlfriend's watching. I can't play. Oh, no. I have performance anxiety.
Hey, that's a thing.
It is.
So can he only win a game once a month?
Zappity.
Grumble.
What is the best zombie board game?
Zombicide. I don't understand this question.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Yeah, there's no
not,
other.
Not even going to go to me?
We can all just say Zombicide in
I see Zombicide. Yeah, I mean, Zombies is okay, but not as good as Zombicide.
Zombie is awful.
Yeah.
Zombies would be fun if it took 20 minutes to play. It takes 3 hours to play that game.
Just
and the last hour is fucking everyone else.
And it also is just, you play for like 2 hours randomly for no fucking reason and nothing you do matters, and then somebody flips over the helipad and wins. Yeah. Like, why not just roll a die and see who flipped over the helipad and won? Gah.
Wow.
It's awful.
It's Munchkin really level. Feel. It's like Munchkin, but it's just Munchkin bad.
Yeah.
Munchkin isn't bad. It's bad after the fourth. You told me to start playing Candy Crush again.
Zappity Grumble.
Oh, fine. Zappity.
Grumble.
We already Zappity Grumble.
What do you do with the drunken sailor?
You join in.
I can't top that.
I, you know, the sailor could.
Andy? Why did it really go to me? It's supposed to go to Nathan. Nathan was going to have something clever.
The sailor could top that. That was his answer.
No.
Katie was the clever one this time.
Yeah.
She wants to have sex with a drunken sailor.
All right.
Jeremy.
Andrew Hackstall Heartland, name a way for War Machine Tactics to surpass XCOM.
Be beatable.
I love XCOM. You shut your face.
No, I love it too. I just actually want to be able to finish the damn game.
If they merge together?
Oh my God. I'll allow it.
I think I just came under the table a little bit.
Can you imagine taking like your unit of warcasters and go battle chrysalids. Aliens?
Yes.
Yeah, like if it's Haley and her trenchers and long gunners fighting against chrysalids and sectoids and cyber discs.
That must be a mod.
The answer is crossover.
Actually, I like that. Those fucking crystals would get stuck. Time shift. Feet.
Yeah. Fuck you, Chrysalis.
I wonder if that's something you could easily mod. I'm sure.
I'm sure you could. Once War Machine Tactics come out, you can probably do that.
Well, you could probably do that now if there's some mod packs for XCOM.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It'll be easier once the graphics for Tactics
come out. Probably. Yeah.
Crossover.
Katie.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Durgan with Earthbreaker and Gaston with Galleon. Great double colossal list or greatest double colossal list?
Let me get Scar.
Yeah, let me get a caster with Backlash.
I look forward to carrier grouping you soon.
Please play it more.
It's gonna be
Retribution army laughs at you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a nice train piece you got there. Do you pay 20 points for it?
You paid 20 points for that wreck marker? Beautiful.
24, actually.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we're all mocking, so maybe we should go into detail about why.
So here's the problem with Gaston with a Galleon that people forget. Is Galleon... Well, there's several problems. Backlash exists, so Gaston just insta-dies. Also, lots of other things can kill Gaston, and then your Galleon's a piece of trash.
And Gaston is not... He's survivable, but he's not that
survivable. He's not that survivable. No. He's not 25,
Splashing
24 points
Splashing the
Galleon
on Gaston into other faction lists is super tempting because you're breaking the system by getting a Galleon in your other list, which is really sexy good until Gaston dies and you paid
half
20
your
points
24.
For paperweight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the issue.
And you can't even reactivate him with anything else.
That's the other issue. Well, like, thing is normally,
you could bring Dirty Meg?
Well, yeah.
No, you can't. Jack Marshall.
You can't Marshall.
You can activate it.
You can activate it with Dirty Meg.
You're right.
You're right. Then you're paying 26 points.
Again, for Jack, it doesn't get any focus.
Yeah. It's just, it's too risky.
Yes.
That borderlines the whole we're going to bring a wrong eye and Snapjaw, and then we're going to put a Wrassler on him, then we're going to put another one
Durgan
on him.
Durgan with Earthbreaker. So Durgan could... No, he can't because it's not Rulik. Oh, no. God.
Yeah, Durgan can't do it either. It's just like being cross-faction.
Yeah, it's a complete skew. When it works, it'll be great. Every time you sacrifice your entire list for one trick.
Yeah.
All right.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
Danny Goodner wants to know what color scheme he should use for his new Merc army.
Blue and purple.
Sure.
Rainbow.
Lime green.
It's Danny Goodner. Pink.
Yeah.
Yes, pink. Good
pink
point.
Like his Crocs.
You were about to say crotch.
No, Crocs. I know, he has the pink Crocs.
Yeah, he does have the pink Crocs, but...
His crotch might
be
pink,
You heard
too.
Crotch? Is that what you heard?
Crotch.
Jesus.
All right.
Zappity.
Drumble.
Best impression of the person to your left. We'll go this way.
She's not even going to risk it.
I don't know. I have to think. I make impressions to you all the time.
Hey, wait, Katie, why don't you do an impression of me, complete with hand gesture?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, you only do that on Focus and Furious podcast?
Yeah, that's special.
You'll just always have to wonder what it was.
God damn it. I'm going to go through your videotaping of that event, like the Zapruder film, just looking for Katie doing her Nathan impression.
It might have been at the same time, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a pretty good impression.
I talk
of Jeremy.
A lot.
All right.
What's happening?
My wife had to institute a quiet rule.
I can't disagree with that statement.
Okay.
Nathan?
Can I just make an impression of Jeremy, too? Can we just all do Jeremy impressions?
Let's all do Jeremy.
Come on, I already thought about the one for Nathan.
Oh, all right, okay. Well, can
Jeremy or the one to your left?
I don't know how to do a Jeremy impression.
That was you.
My drink made me poop bad. But I'm very smart and attractive. And bad at math. You're an accountant. How can you be so bad at math?
Excel does that for me.
Well, fair enough.
Fair.
Fucking dice. Die, Ashley!
Nice.
I don't know Dan well enough.
What do you mean you don't know? We play with Dan every week. You got nothing?
I got nothing. I'm horrible.
Just talk about backstabbing people in diplomacy, because Dan's a backstabbing fucker.
I did not play diplomacy with you guys.
No. That was probably a wise choice from your choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. I backstabbed them, and then for whatever reason, I couldn't make it in for like a month. And then a month later, I walk in, Nathan's just pissed at me.
I saved it.
I'll do my impression of Andy.
Clicky, clicky.
Clicky, 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 clicky.
I'm a hypocrite.
Clicky, clicky. Stephanie.
Grumble.
Each name the best thing about the movie Jaws.
Donna.
The best thing about the movie Jaws?
Best thing about the movie Jaws.
When they're singing in the boat.
It's a good scene. Never seen it.
Which also ties into the fact that... I can't think of the guy's name now. The scientist, Richard Dreyfuss, that his character is actually in the movie Piranha 3D. That character that's in Jaws is in Piranha 3D.
That's kind of hilarious.
It's an amazing, but anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Won't say this often about any movies, but the changes it made from the book.
No, I've never read the book, but...
In the book, Richard Dreyfuss' character is randomly having sex with the main character's wife, just because the guy needed to throw in some sex scenes. Richard Dreyfuss' character then, I guess as moral punishment for that, ends up getting eaten in the shark cage instead of surviving. But the weakest part of the book is that the shark death is completely anticlimactic. Like, in the movie, they shoot, like, two barrels into it, and it's a big deal that the shark can still go function with two barrels. In the book, they get, like, a third and a fourth in it, and then it, like, it eats the Richard Dreyfuss, it eats Quint, and then it's going for the main character, it's coming for him, and it's scared it's coming, and then it's just like, oh, fuck this, I'm tired, and dies. Like, it just overexerts and dies at the opportune moment.
All right.
The theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The naked chick music. At the beginning.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that to this day my mother won't go swimming in the ocean because of Jaws. And that movie came out how long ago?
There's all sorts of other scary things in the ocean, right?
I haven't shared that with her because Jaws keeps her out of the ocean already. She might never go in the bathtub again.
I mean, like, sharks are the least scary thing there.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing about the movie Jaws is the mass genocide of an misunderstood species.
Yeah, it is kind of unfortunate.
I actually didn't go swimming in my pool for a long time because there were toilets in my own fucking pool.
He's it. Not alone, man. People were scared to take baths after that movie came out. They were fucking scared.
Yeah, I was pretty young when I saw Jaws. So.
I don't remember if someone who's associated with the making of the movie started donating like all the proceeds that he made from that movie into protecting sharks.
Because
he
ridiculous.
Felt so bad.
Oh,
about
yeah.
How many
oh, yeah.
sharks
it
were
villainized
killed
him completely.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. Yeah. I think you get struck lightning more times by lightning than get bit by a shark.
Here's a true statistic I found out. In America, over the last 2 years, this has been true both years individually, annually, you are less likely to be eaten by a shark than you are to date Taylor Swift.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Wow.
Statistically more likely to
also,
date Taylor Swift than be killed by a shark.
It also explains how she writes so many heartbreak songs.
Village Bicycle.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say vending machines kill more people than sharks.
Vending machines also kill more people than sharks.
But I like
Taylor
this
Swift
better.
Is funnier.
Yeah, that's way better.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. This was shared by, I assume, Brian, since he's not here. Harkovic versus Akova. Who would win?
I like Harkovic.
It's a Kadorcaster and a Kadorcaster.
I've always been a proponent for Harkovic. I think Harkovic is awesome. He actually works really well in Who's the Boss.
Yeah, he does.
Escort is a thing with with any kind of war beast.
Faction too.
Yeah.
Harkovic. Harkovic is decent. Zarkova's
bullshit.
Yes, awful.
Harkovic, Zarkova in a Krix army beats Harkovic in a Kador army.
That's probably true, but that's because neither one of them needs to use their army in that fight.
Yeah, I'll say Zarkova and any
other... No, Zarkova just wants a goddamn Arknode.
Exactly.
Zarkova with an Arknode is good. I think that there are more ways to break Harkovic and Who's the Boss than there are to break Zarkova.
Zarkova has a ball-busting feat. She has such great spells, she just can't use it where she is.
Yes, because every time they come up, she dies every time she casts a spell.
I've said they should release a character, Jack, that's got a... Whatever it's called,
her tier 4 theme force benefit should have been Vanguards in this list gain Arknode.
Or it could be that she gets a character Jack that has Arknode when it's in affinity with her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Specifically only with her.
That's what I'm saying. Is it like a character that only, like, with the, whatever the rule that, never mind, right, I can't.
He's too busy getting tickled
by Katie.
Katie.
All right. Zappity grumble. Better holiday movie, Scrooged or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or The Ref?
I haven't seen any of those movies.
The Ref is a great come from behind. People don't respect The Ref. I'll go with Scrooged, but Ref is really close.
Probably Christmas Carol.
What?
Well,
it's not on the list.
If we're going off book, I'm jumping to Die Hard.
Well, clearly.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
jump to White Christmas on this one.
I'm not jumping off list, but man, I like myself. I like myself some Christmas Ooh. Vacation.
Yeah,
Cousin Eddie putting the
yes,
yeah, the movie thing where I've seen none of them.
So. Of the three, I would see Christmas Vacation
Scrooged.
Way more than the other two.
Scrooge is good, but
I like Christmas Vacation.
Yeah,
I want Eddie on
some with the toaster.
Nope. Cousin Eddie putting the latrine into the all the leavings into the
yeah.
the sewer.
Or great the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon version.
Again, not in the...
I have an off-book Christmas one, which is now my recommendation.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What is your Christmas wish?
The Ogre Kickstarter spruce. Since
not Katie actually having to be on call over Christmas.
Not being on call? Yeah, that's a good one. Andy?
My Christmas wish is just to get drunk.
Good Christmas wish.
It's a miracle!
It's not really a miracle. It's
habit.
Yeah. My Christmas wish was already granted, but I'm transferring teams at work and I'm very excited about it.
Are you going to be in Hogwarts?
I will not be. I'll still be out in Tokay, sadly. I won't get to move.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, this team could theoretically transfer more likely than the other one, who has said they never will.
Your boss is a crazy lady?
What? Turns out that both my customers and my coworkers, some of them listen to this podcast, so maybe... Maybe I won't get into that.
Okay. But your coworkers all know that she's insane. Like,
no comment.
There's epic employees that post on the Something Awful forums, and they talk about how insane your boss is.
Coming soon to next podcast, Jeremy is unemployed.
Jeremy bit his tongue.
I said nothing.
Anybody who owns a company who has like a Hogwarts-themed building for their associates to work in is insane.
I'll say a little fun side story. When I was going to school, I once, at a career fair, was giving stuff to all the resumes resumes of all different people. I purposely skipped the epic one until the person started pouting that I skipped her. So I gave her my resume anyways. And a few weeks later, I got this letter saying, thank you for giving us your resume, but we're really not interested. So I framed it.
Nice.
Because even then, I knew better than the work for fucking ECHA.
If that lady has fewer than 30 cats, I will eat my pants.
I'm almost positive she does because she is married and has multiple children. And so that's not usually how you think of
how old are the children?
The kids, the youngest are in college.
She has 30
She
cats.
Has 30 cats.
I don't think she would.
No, she's at work all day, every day, man.
She's
cats are independent creatures.
Or she has them at work.
I don't think that she I think she would think that they were dirty.
Yeah.
She seems like the kind of person who wouldn't have any
animals. Oh, she's Howard using it up?
Whatsoever.
Yeah. That seems more likely with her, I'll be honest.
All right.
Zabity.
Grumble.
What's the best holiday porn movie name? We'll start with Andy. We'll give Katie time to think on this one.
No, I have it.
All right.
Holiday in Handcuffs. I watched it with Zaid.
That's from not college. A porn movie.
It's a title.
Oh, okay. All right.
Holiday in Handcuffs. It sounds like a porn
movie. It does sound like a
porn. Until you gave it away.
Coming down your chimney.
That's good.
Wreck my halls.
Cupping Santa's sack.
I can't even think.
Nookies and milk, deck the balls. Come on, get on something.
Oh, I don't have anything nearly as good as you guys. I am at a loss. I'm gonna come back to that.
I mean, soon from Nathan's collection.
Saint Dick.
No, looking for something more of a no.
Okay.
Zappy. All right.
Zappity.
He said Zappity, but
Grumble.
Okay.
Whatever.
Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor? There's no context. That is
oh,
the
my
question.
God. That's actually a surprisingly difficult question to answer.
That is, because Eddie Murphy early is so good. Richard Pryor all the time. Well, actually, hold on. Is it Eddie Murphy old, or is it Richard Pryor on fire?
There is no information.
Richard Pryor on fire is funny as hell.
Wait, who's Richard Pryor?
Oh! God! I know, I'll allow that. She's young and white. And
and female.
He was a stand-up god in, like, the 70s, and he did some movies and stuff as well.
He did a bunch of cocaine and lit himself on fire.
He sure did light him, bringing us back to Scrooged. It's one of my favorite jokes in that movie that people sadly don't get anymore, is when he hallucinates the guys on fire and dumps a bucket of water on him. He goes, I'm sorry, I thought you were Richard Pryor.
He was a troubled guy, and then ended up having leukemia or no
something. But
oh no, he had Parkinson's.
Yeah, Parkinson's.
Well, so as long as we're taking a funny question and going dark with it,
at most important and influential, Richard Pryor, the person whose stand-up comedy amuses me the most at the height, Eddie Murphy. I think Raw and Delirious are better than Pryor's stuff, but Pryor is vastly more important.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy is my choice as well. I will say that.
I like the Eddie Murphy movie where I like the Coming to America and the one where he's a poor guy and they make him into a rich guy.
Yep. Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Both which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Both are amazing movies. Yeah.
You should watch Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor.
And
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
That's a classic.
They did several movies together. Yeah, that Silver Streak. Yeah.
They were going to do Blazing Saddles until he lit himself on fire.
Yep.
Because blazing.
Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite scene out of Speed Racer?
Favorite scene of Speed Racer? Honestly, it's near the very end of the movie. Okay. I don't want to give it away, but it's basically the movie works on a lot of recaps, and that it basically recaps the movie at the very end, and I feel it's very powerful.
I look forward to seeing it sometime before Christmas.
God damn you.
I'm saving it for Christmas Eve. Oh.
Yet again, haven't seen it.
What? My favorite scene is that there's a plot, like, exposition scene where people are talking and talking and talking and talking, and the movie knows that it's been talking for too much, so they cut away to a chimp driving a go-kart with its feet running over scientists, and then they cut back to the exposition. You needed that palate cleanser.
Meanwhile, Freebird is playing in the background.
Yeah. Well, Freebird is playing a golf cart. It's driving a golf cart with its feet just running over scientists while Freebird blazes, and then they cut back to dialogue.
That's fantastic.
It's like, thank you, movie. I needed that.
I remember enjoying the movie. I don't remember any specifics about it.
You can watch it with me on Christmas Eve then.
Also, more like a ninja.
Yeah. The movie is just great. It's my
favorite.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Looking into getting a new War Machine faction that can run Jack Heavy but isn't COC. Suggestions/recommendations?
Was War Machine specifically, or would they do
He said War Machine faction.
Well, what's
so
his
assume.
Old faction? Because what's going to be new to him? If he already runs Protectorate, I can't say Protectorate.
He probably runs just Convergence, would be my guess, since he says that it isn't Convergence.
Well, or maybe he's just not interested in Convergence.
Yeah.
Well, Protectorate is solid. I mean,
Protectorate is the best non-Convergence Jack faction.
Protectorate or one of the two Jack casters in the other factions.
Right.
No, I think we can all agree that it's Protectorate.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Who's a good second caster to take if you're going to run Butcher 2's Theme Force in a Steamroller, and why? Well, I mean, Jordan locally runs that all the time, and he runs it with one of two casters. Either Butcher 1, because Butcher 1 is amazing and runs with, like, the Nis and everything.
And tons of guns.
And gets all the characters ever, which is amazing for him. Or Vlad 3, all the horses. Also
Vlad 1, I would also think, would be good for the kind of the same
it could
thing
be.
As Butcher
Sorcha 1. Sorcha 2.
The thing with Sorcha 2, and this, Jordan's problem with Sorcha 2 is until, what's his nuts? The Kador Jr., what's his name?
Valachev or something.
It's not Valachev.
That's,
not
that's
their,
the other guy.
Markov.
Until Markov comes out, he doesn't think the Sorcha 2 list is quite there yet in current Steamroller. He thinks that it needs Markov to make the Conquest fast enough to get up the table, and then Sorcha's Winter Guard plus Conquest.
So
I don't think she's really that great with Conquest. I think she's good with Conquest.
Something that's the minimum Jack points, probably.
Okay. I think you could probably fit the Conquest into two really nice, like a couple Kodiaks. Or something like
you
that.
I'd go with Butcher 1 and the Death Star.
I think Butcher 1 Death Star with Nis is amazing backstop to Butcher 2. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's boring because then you're playing Butcher, but...
You need something that isn't melee heavy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like playing...
Unless you are masochistic and enjoy playing against Saren repeatedly.
It's a lot like playing Veil in Legion. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Sure, you're playing two Veils, but they're both amazing. And they're different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Katie is not efficiently crushing candy.
No, I was efficiently crushing candies.
No, you could have had four reds in a row.
How to crush the candy? I could.
Katie, are you gonna pit Zappity?
Zappity,
Grumble.
Favorite thing to do that isn't a game of some kind. This is from Travis. Hi, Travis.
Travis yelled at me last time we mentioned masturbation on the podcast, so I have to think of a different answer.
There are lots of things I like to do. I like to go play frisbee golf. I like to read. I like to sew.
When have you sewn?
I used to cross stitch all the time before I met you. I also used to read a lot more before I met you.
So you say Jeremy is actively dumbing you down.
Yes. I like to ice skate. You've also never taken me ice skating.
I was going to take you this winter. I told you that.
I know. You told me you're going to take me camping.
I am going to take you camping this summer.
This winter.
No, not this winter.
I mean, you said that last summer and the summer before.
It can be fun, but it takes very expensive equipment to enjoy winter camping.
No, yeah, we were in college. We didn't have that.
Yeah. It
takes a mummy bag and...
Four friends.
Wow.
That's four really good friends.
Whoa.
Swimming is also really fun, though not a winter activity. You know what's not fun? It's cross-country skiing. That's really boring. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring and it's hard work. Like, there's no pleasure in it. I don't understand why people do it.
Downhill skiing is fun.
Downhill skiing is amazing.
There's, like, an exhilaration to it. Like, I don't enjoy it, but I get it.
People do cross-country skiing for the same reason they jog. Like, originally it was something done to get away from predators, and now rich people do it to, you know...
Or you do it because you like getting away from people.
When you said predators, it just immediately thought of, like, the Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, predators from the movie. It's just like...
Oh, it's cross-country skiing. That's why the Norse invented it, was that those things came down to hunt them all the time.
Yeah. The, like, jog is going to get you away from the predator.
Dan, or Nathan, did you get an answer yet?
I lost track. Skiing's fun. No, I browse the shit out of the internet. Like, I do nothing but internet all day long. I'm a member of, like, 20 different forums, and I post on them all 1,000 times a day.
Yeah,
I need a life.
You do.
Like, one of my favorite forums, it's a sub-forum, there is a thread on the Privateer Press, not Privateer Press, there's a thread on the Something Awful forums that all it is discussing political cartoons, and political cartoons are awful, and so this whole thread is just all of us being bitter and hateful towards how bad political cartoons are, and it's just this pool of cynical hatred, and it's kind of wonderful.
I don't want to be in. Why do you want to be involved in that kind of community? I like to have something. Like, I don't understand why people do things that they know that are going to make them angry and bitter. Like, your mom posted something on the Facebooks the other day, and so obviously we're Christians, and she listened to an atheist speaker, and then she was pissed at what he was saying. It's like, why are you listening to him except for to get pissed? I don't understand your logic. Like, you know you're not going to agree with him.
Yeah. My dad listens to NPR just to make himself mad.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's... There's some good political cartoons out there, but 99% of them are bad.
Oh, yeah,
although,
terrible.
Side note, along mom's... But yesterday, my mom posted something on Facebook that had pissed her off, which was, I think it was CBS, was talking about Nelson Mandela, and they talked about, you know, how he was such an important African-American person.
He was an... African.
Yeah.
So they were half right.
So that's the danger of being politically correct and using the term African-American is that he ain't.
He's not.
He's not. He was not African-American.
Most of my family has been blocked from Facebook.
Oh, my God. But my mom was so fucking pissed. She's like, God damn it, CBS. Well, because she hates that term. Her second husband, my stepdad, is black, which he preferred to be called black because it's less of a stupid term in his eyes because of that. Like, if you go to England...
Well, they're not a black American.
You're not a black European.
Yeah, you're not an African Indian. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's well, such a weird
there,
term.
There are a couple. I have an anecdote about this, and then I have an opinion about this.
Oh, good.
My anecdote is that I was at an office Christmas party, and we were playing the 90s game, and they said, what music group, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, are from England, or where are they from? And I said, well, are they a black group or a white group? For a hint. And then I got yelled at, and they were like, well, African-American. I said, well, obviously you're not from the U.S., so they're not African-American. But yet I'm now a racist at work.
Not just that. You just are a racist.
And then the other thing is I feel like the term African-American is segregationalist. Like, I am not known as a Polish-American.
Also, well, I think we should refer to you that way.
I'm just an American. Like, why are they – why – you know what I mean? Yeah. Is – it's in promoting people to differentiate and to group people apart as opposed
to
just
calling. Yes, but you're correctly mutt, so it's
also
okay.
It segregates in a different way. I had a buddy in high school who was a foreign exchange student who had moved to America. His family had moved to America from South Africa, and he was white as a sheet of paper, but he was from – outside. He was an African who took the nationalization test and earned his American – citizenship.
So he was African American.
And so the thing is, he would check African American on all these like boxes and resumes. Like the SAT said, I'm African American, and people would give him so much shit. And he's like, it's accurate. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it because we're all Americans.
Yeah. I checked. Side note: I checked Chinese on a college exam one time when it asked because I was like, why should it matter? I just checked Chinese.
Good story.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
I've been learning how to tell stories from Katie.
Wow. Yes, but hers are at least somewhat funny.
Where the hell were we, by the way?
Favorite thing to do that is the game of some kind.
That's where, I think we're at Zappity is where we are. Thanks, Rumble? Travis.
Yeah, Travis, you're fired.
Yeah, shut up, Sam.
What are you most looking forward to in the new book?
It Vengeance? Just reading it.
Okay.
Boatmobile.
Mm.
All the releases for my factions.
I'm going to pretend this is a book from our book club.
Sure.
And I don't think I am looking forward to it because I read the... Because I read like the book he gave me as like an illustration of the author's works. And I don't think this
name
is going to
be my author,
cup
because
of tea.
This will be funny. Name the author.
It's Deepak something. He's an Indian dude.
It's not Deepak. It's Deepak.
Deepak.
You know who it is.
Yeah.
But Katie doesn't. But yeah, he's very famous. Like, incredibly famous.
I know. Well, because I read up on him, and he's written, like, several books. Like, lots and lots of books.
Yeah.
But I read, like, the first two pages, and I...
Side note, speaking of not liking things, Jordan Knock is an idiot. Because he thinks Galaxy Quest is a bad movie.
Yeah.
He
does think by that. The way. Yep. That should be known. That should be public.
Yeah, he's entitled to have his own opinion. It's just wrong.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Grumble.
Favorite caster for Bane Riders?
I don't know.
Probably Gorshade 3.
Yeah,
right Gorshade now, 3. I think Asphyxius 1. Mm.
Yeah.
I think Scything Touch on those guys is baller.
Sick. Yeah, that's makes sense.
Gatsby 1 is good. Yskar is good because she can give him armor buff. I'm actually playing around with Terminus with them just for blocking line of sight and being a dick with them.
Mm. Wouldn't Gatsby 3 also be good with them? Doesn't he?
Could be.
He's okay. I just like Scything Touch on them because reach all day, just getting in there and
him making him armor. I mean, POW 20s effectively.
Yeah,
it seems good.
Yeah,
seems strong.
Yeah.
Parasite plus Scything Touch, like those things will fuck up a Colossal.
Oh yeah.
All right, Zappy.
Grumble.
Favorite ice cream place or flavor?
Oh, man, my favorite ice cream place is the place at the Union. What's it called?
It's the local
Babcock.
Babcock, yep.
Yeah, Babcock. It is delicious. And it I like delicious. Vanilla or Moose Tracks.
I have never been there.
I like, it's so really yeah, good. Yeah. There was a board game group that met there on Wednesdays every week, so I ate a lot of that stuff. But I actually super like vanilla. I think it's an underrated flavor, and people, you know, call it boring, and it actually tastes really, really good. Otherwise, I really like Rocky Road. But my absolute favorite flavor is one that you probably can't get anywhere except for Madison, because it's in the Chocolate Shop ice cream, who I've mentioned before because of their hilarious nutritional information. They had a contest to come up with a new flavor, and the one that won was called Shit Just Got Serious. And it is like sea salt and caramel and chocolate and vanilla, and it's just so fucking good. Next time we're on stage, it's like 20 feet away from the place that we eat with the carving, and the guy brought chicken and I wanted to kill him.
Oh, Samba.
Samba's. It's like 20 feet away from Samba's, so when we go to Samba's in January...
Because we're going to totally have room for ice cream after
There's
Samba.
There's room for This Shit Got Serious, because This Shit Just Got Serious is amazing.
Speaking of ice cream, I have a story. I was watching a documentary today, and they claimed
that... You have a lot of stories today.
I know, I'm very full of them. They claimed that... it used to be that they thought that ice cream caused polio.
That's
because
true.
There was a strong correlation between the two.
Yeah.
Well, because it occurs in children, and children like ice cream.
No, they
in children and in summer.
No, they did analysis that more ice cream gets eaten, and at the same time there was more polio, so therefore ice cream must cause polio.
Yes.
Beautiful. Anyway, strawberry and fudge.
That does sound good.
I actually just like strawberry ice cream.
Also, if you eat ice cream with a spoon, don't use a metal spoon. If you must use a metal spoon, turn it over so the ice cream touches your mouth instead of the spoon.
I like the way it tastes with a metal spoon.
The metal spoon deadens your tongue and deadens the flavor of the ice cream.
I like the taste of the metal.
You don't want to taste metal. You want to taste the ice cream.
I like it better. I don't know. I like soda better from a can, too.
Okay, so Katie apparently is just like some alien that eats metal.
Yeah.
She's the Iron Giant.
All right, Jeremy, what's your answer?
I really like vanilla, and it's not a ice cream place, but I really like, used to be able to get Five ice cream, which is literally just like five ingredients, and it was amazing, and I can't find it in Madison anymore, but it was a brand of ice cream that was delicious.
There's a brand of ice cream that's just like, isn't it like Edie's or something? That's
Edie's
just
no,
it was Breyers, and they had a line called Five,
which was literally five
ingredients, and it was so good.
It was really good ice cream.
Lefty.
Grumble. Favorite model sculpt?
Vanessa Russell. The minion caster. She's the she's the minion that was in the IK line.
Yeah, yeah. You just didn't mean the word caster.
Yeah, I didn't.
You're talking about caster. The solo, the Hunter Mark, and the...
Oh, the, yes. The anti-legion cat. Okay.
Yes, yeah, gotcha. That is easily my favorite sculpt ever by Privateer.
Okay. Terminus.
Terminus is super good. He's what got me. He is actually the model that got me into War Machine. I wish he didn't have that limp wrist.
Yeah.
If I played Crix again, I would literally get a little Barbie purse to hang on that wrist and just turn him in just straight.
Yeah,
up
I'm trying
like
to
that.
Figure out how to fix that part. But, I've already decided to do the stupid head. I'm going to put a Corruptor head on him. But
that is a tough fucking question. My favorite, I'm going to cheat a little and just go with, it's not my favorite model overall, but it's my favorite little detail, so I'll just give it the head nod, which is I love the Bone Swarm, because I love that the one at the front of the stack is pushing back the guy who's in second place, because he just really wants to be at the front of the swarm, and I think that's awesome. And that little details like that make models.
No,
I agree. Like the little guy peeking out of the pouch on the Axer.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Axer with the chicken, or
the Impaler's got the chicken. The Axer's got the whelp inside of his lunch bag just peeking out.
Yeah.
Those details are awesome.
I like the little reindeer in Legion, and then I like the guy who's the nightmare that had the little girl with the little teddy bear.
Yep. And the model that got you in a circle, too, was the griffin.
No, the picture of the griffin, not the actual model.
Oh, you don't like the actual model.
The picture of the blitzer got me into trolls, but the model, not
so much.
That's
not impressive. I really like Eris 2's sculpt. I think it's really cool.
Have you seen the Eris, the No Quarter Eris?
Probably, but I don't remember if so.
Instead of Eris 1 falling over, she's walking forward really menacingly.
Yeah. I think Eris 2 is better. Mm-hmm. Eris No Quarter is better than Eris 1, but Eris 2 is better than No Quarter.
I like the No Quarter Eris over Eris 2. If I could use her as Eris 2, I would.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the No Quarter Eris is it's like one of those two perfect posings that would never actually happen.
Yeah, she looks more kind of like how Eris 3 looks.
Mm. Okay. Ares 3 does look, hands Ares 3 sculpt is really cool, and I'm really glad I had you assemble her, because she looks like she's a bitch to assemble.
Yeah, she was. Not fun. Those arms really cool. Those arms are really tiny,
yeah.
And I pinned those arms.
Oh, but all you right. did.
Yep. Zappity.
Grumble.
Spoiled Kador Warjack with machine guns and double strike. Discuss.
I feel like there's a lot of War Machine talk lately.
I had no clue this was spoiled.
Yeah, it was spoiled semi from posts people made from War Machine Weekend.
It's theoretically the new Kodiak.
Yeah,
it's got double strike and a rapid fire gun.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll see it when it's in print.
Can see point cost and rap before I care.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot to see anybody bother to run a Jack and Kador.
Yeah, because if you give all the stats like just for the Demolisher, that cool, the little beach ball Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one cares about it. Because
if it's rap 4, it's not going to see play.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Is miniature painting considered art?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Next question. Yeah.
Well, that's actually our last question. So
from Twitter and both Facebook threads?
That was the last of the second Facebook.
As with thread. Painting a car, it depends. I mean, it's either functional or art, depending on the extent you take it to.
Speaking of painting, I'm kind of annoyed. So we have a local gaming group here that has just kind of started running what's known as a Mordheim campaign. It's a Games Workshop specialty games. It's kind of like a little, you take a little squad of guys and you go out searching for stuff, battling other people's warbands.
Okay.
Until elves break it.
But they're playing it without those special rules. So I had a force I made like a couple years ago that, actually probably about 10 years ago, and I wanted to play in it. But they were actually only allowing painted models. They wouldn't allow me to play in there with my.
And this was just a casual weeknight league?
Yeah, no, it's not casual. They only play like once a month. And so I was like, well, could I just start painting them and play with the ones I don't have painted? You know? Like no. You're going to have three colors on it. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So even if I make the effort to paint in here, I can't join your guys' elitist league.
That's dumb.
Yeah. So that really sucks because I was kind of thinking about playing Mordheim again.
It's a fun game.
The local game store that has a lot of Warhammer players at it is closing down at the end of this month, so yes. There's going to be an influx of Warhammer players, and some of them are like that.
The last square is closing down.
They're shutting their current operations down and moving out to Mount Horeb and going primarily
digital.
Online.
Yeah, they're not going to have a game store.
They're going to have a little bit of one because they need it for some of their trade lines and stuff like that.
But not for events. They won't have
an
event.
They all have a small event space, but you have not what they have now.
So what's Rick? I mean, is Rick still going to be...
Rick and I are still figuring out what we're doing, but for the most part, we're just folding into PEG.
Okay.
Yeah, generally, stores like that, they have to have some type of a brick and mortar in order to actually have deals through distributors.
Yeah, the big one is Games Workshop has a minimum retail requirement, and that's way too much of their sales to give up. Because if you have to buy it through distributors, it jumps like 25% in price.
Yeah, makes sense.
Games Workshop wants you to deal directly with them so they can control everything.
Before we hit recommendations, we did get one last-minute question from Ben Lang, and he's Ben Lang, so I'm gonna
fuck that guy.
You'll like this one. The word Jeremy is too long and does not have the same ring to it as Crump. Suggestions on the proper grammar for using this name to express profanity?
Gimp.
I think that works.
Wow.
So we could have a t-shirt that just says, bring out the Gimp, and a picture of Jeremy's face on it.
Oh, God.
Nathan, you need to make this happen. That can happen.
My mother's going to see a picture of this and going to want to know what a gimp is.
What? Everyone knows what a gimp is.
Yeah. Have you not seen...
Tippy is a gimp.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So
I'm not getting into
this. There's something called multiple definitions for a word.
Yeah.
Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
See,
there's that's a gimp.
Yeah.
Someone with a limp is also a gimp. Those are two different things.
The American Horror, whatever that you used to watch over at Jordan's house, that was a gimp.
What? Just a scary show?
No. Someone. It's a scary show, all right.
It's a scary show.
So you know that thing that Jeremy's into, where you put him
not true,
where you put him all in leather, and then like there's a zipper on his mouth, and you
put him in a box.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a gimp.
That's a gimp.
I didn't know that.
Neither does my mother, and I don't want to explain it to her.
But why would I mean? But why
because,
would you?
Because there's going to be a picture. If a shirt gets created, this is bring out the gift. That's a picture of my face.
I will.
It's
going to
get. It's going to. That's going to happen first. Second, the picture of it's going to wind up on Facebook. So, someone's going to mention tag me in it, and then my mother's going to ask me what it is.
Well, no, she's
going to assume you. Either she's going to assume you had a limp at some point in time, or she knows what they are already. Which means you need to have a conversation with your mom.
I don't need to have a conversation with my mother about
hey,
that
you can
ever.
Just walk in
your mom's
on them
not
again.
Confused by your Facebook name is Benghazi already.
No, we've explained that story.
No, she thinks it's funny.
Oh, okay.
So you can just explain this is another time that you opened your mouth and walked into something.
Gimps do that.
Anyway, I have a recommendation
like
this week.
Yes, like penises.
Good job, Katie.
Good job, Katie. You cracked the case.
You're such a code cracker.
My head hurt. I have a recommendation.
Okay.
Go
I'm
going to
recommend the documentary Mansum. Will Arnett and Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Produced it, and I don't know if it's a documentary or a mockumentary. I think the person who's in it believes it's a real documentary, but it's ridiculous. It is. I'm not all the way through it yet. It's fantastic.
There's definitely a lot. Like, it goes through and follows, like, different people, and one of the people it follows is the guy who travels around the country entering beard competitions and, like, thinks it's, like, seriously legit shit and, like, went to Europe to represent America in beard competitions.
Those actually are legitimate.
You should watch the video. It's on Netflix.
I mean,
go check it out.
I don't think that they're not legitimate things that happen. I think that this guy takes it to a whole...
Takes it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Level.
Like, his life is his beard.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing beard, don't get me wrong. But there's more to life than just your facial hair.
Is it as almost good of a beard as you are?
Almost.
Wow.
See, I just called you gay.
Yes. I've been called many things this evening. I'll just add it to the list.
Okay. Sure thing, Gimp.
I'm going to allow this.
So now my new impersonation of Jeremy is...
He's the one to your left, not me.
Well, just turn 180 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, my recommendation is...
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, Mansum is on Netflix. My recommendation is the new Hobbit movie, Desolation of Smaug. I actually really enjoyed it.
Wait,
however...
It's not Smaug.
Smaug.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I'm a huge fan. I love the books. A, if you know the stuff that's not in The Hobbit, then some of it makes more sense, admittedly. There are some things they do that mess with the timelines a little bit. Spoiler alert. 1, 2, 3. They talk about releasing the 9 writers. And yet somehow that doesn't clue in Gandalf in any way, shape, or form for 80 years.
No, see, here's the thing.
This movie just came out like a couple days ago.
That's why I'm going to be the first one to spoil it.
Here's the thing, though. The Lord of the Rings came out before Peter Jackson had any inclination that he was going to make The Hobbit. Or if he did, then it was like a far-off event. When he made The Hobbit, he decided he really wanted to tie it in with his other trilogy because it was so successful. In doing so, the timeline between the two movies doesn't make sense.
It doesn't always make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense because there's about 80 years in between the two.
That's true, and he got it down.
And there are things that don't make sense. If Gandalf had 80 years, Gandalf would have figured everything out well before the 80 years.
Like he did in the book.
So did they finally bring all those great Legolas love story scenes from the book to life in the film? Because my favorite part about the book, The Hobbit, was reading Legolas existed. And his girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, it's not his girlfriend. No spoilers, but he does not get the love of his life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was the sad part of the book, The Hobbit, is those many, many chapters devoted to Legolas and his unrequited love to the chick from Lost.
It's an enjoyable movie. It's done really well. It's much better than the first one, which I was a little bit disappointed
in. Legolas.
There is some Legolas, but it's actually pretty good. But it's not straight up following the book. Katie, as someone who only sort of kind of read the book, is like, it hits the major points, which I suppose is true from a certain perspective.
It adds some things, but it hits the major points.
Yeah. I have to say, as someone, I actually don't like the book, The Hobbit. My favorite part about it is actually quitting reading it because I'm getting sick of the writing in it. So I'm actually enjoying the movies a lot.
And the second movie is, it's a really good movie. If you're a hardcore fan of the actual Hobbit, the book, there will be things that will irk you. However, it's really well done as opposed to the first one, which is just kind of like, eh.
Somebody like me would probably like it then, because I've never read any of the books. I've heard horrible things about the books. I've heard good things about the books.
But I love the books.
I like all three of the movies. Hobbit is just
painful. Here's the thing about The Hobbit. As I started reading this book when I was 14 years old, I got through the first like chapter that was about a hill and stopped.
It's two paragraphs about a hill, but anyway.
The issue
with The Hobbit, it is hard to get through The Hobbit because the first 150 pages are Bilbo's house. Fuck that noise. Then the next 100 pages are, oh, we're in trouble. Hi, I'm Gandalf. Oh, thank God you showed up. Oh, we're in trouble again. Hey, it's Gandalf again. Oh, thank God you showed up. Oh, no, we're in trouble. Hi, it's Gandalf. Oh, thank God. And that gets really fucking old.
Yeah, and then Gandalf's like, fuck you.
I'm going to leave for no reason. Bye. And then the book gets good for the last quarter of it.
Which, in this case, is most of two movies. Since the second movie pretty much picks up right when Gandalf is like, bye, guys.
And that's the issue. Also, the credit sequence of the third movie better be Leonard Nimoy's song. That needs to be the credit sequence for the third film. Or just a montage in the middle. The dwarves need to sing it.
But anyway, I really enjoyed it. I will stand behind a recommendation that you should go see it. It was enjoyable.
Oh, crap.
Do we need to come back to you, Andy?
Yeah.
Do we need to come back to you, Dan?
It's probably a movie Nathan that you said he had recommend.
One. I'm going to recommend a wonderful holiday film by talented filmmaker Jim Henson. It is not Muppet Christmas Carol. That is his second best Christmas film. His best Christmas film is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yes.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas is a blast and a half. The children and your inner child will love it. It's pure, happy, fun joy. Also, it has a heavy metal band named The Nightmare in it with a snake that plays guitar and a fish that is just a fish. Like, that thing doesn't even sing or play an instrument. But it's fucking great. And it has a blooper reel. A blooper reel with Muppets. And, like, Frank Oz is getting so sick. Like, this one scene takes, like, 80 takes, and by the end of it, like, Frank Oz is just talking about getting drunk after the shoot. Like, the Muppet is in character doing that. It's not, like, made-up post-bloopers like the Pixar films. This was just Frank Oz fucking around on set. And it's fun. It's basically, it's a different version of Gift of the Magi. It's real protozoic Muppets. Like, you can still see the strings and stuff because it was early in Henson developing it and everything. When it originally aired, Kermit was narrator and would show up during the film. Like, they'd stop and Kermit would go, oh, well, the boys are in a bit of a jam now. But that's all edited out of the versions that are on Netflix and DVDs. That footage is all pretty much gone.
That one was like basically a Muppet house. Basically, all the Muppets were gathering at a house when there's a giant snowstorm and they were telling the story of that.
Well, there's Muppet Family Christmas also, which had that. I think you might be mixing the two of them up. But Muppet Family Christmas was great because it was Sesame Street crossover with the Muppets, and the Swedish chef needs to make a Christmas turkey, and then Big Bird walks in, and he's just like, and he flips his shit because he's going to kill and eat Big Bird.
What's the movie called again?
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It's great. And it's short. It's like a half hour, like, Chris, you know, yeah. Kids,
that
one's special.
Like a good hour.
It may be a good hour, but it's not super long. It's great. Also, there's a great, I'm gonna go to Muppet Family Christmas again, because with this tie-in, like, Bert and Ernie show up, and, like, Fozzie says, like, hi, and they're like, hi, that starts with an H. Helicopter, that also starts with it. And they start talking this, and Fozzie is so confused, and Bert's like, oh, I'm sorry, where we come from, this is small talk.
Nice.
Yeah. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Very cool.
Great songs, too, because it is a musical.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
All right. We stalled for you guys. Coming back to you, Andy.
Coming back to me.
Oh, I can talk about Emmett Otter for 15 more minutes if you need more stalling.
You probably could. I actually really don't have that much to recommend at all. Rum chowder. Yes, drink more rum chowder.
Rum chowder's delicious.
And Blind Russians. Just drink. My recommendation is to help the holidays pass is just to drink.
Get annihilated.
Yep.
Can you top crippling, depressed, and drunk and stupor?
Now, my family is out of the entire state, so I can't see my family. And so,
Andy, come over to my place. We'll watch Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
And get drunk.
I don't know if that was my original goal was to go on Christmas Day to go watch Grudge Match. Because that looks... I liked Rocky V, or Rocky VI, sorry. Ooh.
You did not like Rocky V.
I liked Rocky Balboa. That was a great movie. And this seems like it's another retelling of it. And then I was going to go get drunk with a bunch of friends on Christmas Day.
And then Brian said you had to go visit his mom.
Then I have to go visit Brian's mom. Damn it.
So I got a Muppet movie marathon and getting drunk. I can't top either.
You could do that at the same time.
Yeah, those probably go together.
Really. I'm not going to recommend that.
I need to come with an Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas drinking game.
Yes.
Seriously.
You know, that movie might be short enough you could survive a game like that.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty happy because that actually just started showing up on Blu-ray and DVD very recently. I tried finding it a while ago and couldn't find it.
Yeah. That's one of the movies that I own multiple DVDs of specifically so I can loan it out to people. Yeah. Side note, what's everybody's favorite drinking game? As long as that's topical.
The Star Wars trilogy drinking game. What's but you that? Cannot do all three movies in a day or you will die.
What is the game?
You can print it out online. Just look up Star Wars movie drinking game. And it's like every time X happens, drink. And there's like stuff related to each of the major characters. And then there's like little call-out things. And it's hilarious because some of it's things you don't notice until you're looking for it so you can drink. And it's very enjoyable, but you will get fairly hammered.
See, my favorite, I like drinking games that are simple enough to remember when you're drunk so they can't have like 50 different rules.
No, this one you need access to either the internet or a printer ahead of time so you can have the list in front of you.
See, my favorite is if you actually want to die, the Titanic drinking game. Which is just to drink anytime Jack says Rose or Rose says Jack.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that is fatal.
Yeah. That sounds like the 300 game where you drink every time they say Sparta.
See, that's a good one.
We ran out of alcohol when we tried that one. Again.
A really good one. I haven't played it. Oh, it's a story. One of my friends told me this anecdote, so I might be stealing Andy's or maybe it's somebody else's. But the Commando drinking game is great, which is just you drink any time that Arnold kills a guy. And what's great is you don't realize in Commando, he only kills like 3 people for the first hour and 15 minutes of that movie. So you're like, man, I think this movie's overrated. The drinking game's not good. And then in the last 15 minutes, he kills like 190 people. So you just start chugging a gallon of booze.
My uncle counted how many people died in that movie. It was 209.
Yeah. And like 204 of them are in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty much
on a killing
pretty
spree.
Much. You get a nice lull in there when he kills off Benedict with the pipe.
Yeah. Let off some steam.
I like the Kamino.
As a drinking game?
As a drinking game. I don't remember what the rules were that we made up, but Kamino is a little dice and domino game, and it's simple.
It is a silly little game. It does pair well with drinking.
It does pair well with drinking.
So that's kind of like Andy playing zombie and drinking gin out of a bowl every time somebody died.
No, it wasn't when somebody died.
Or messed up.
You're stealing my thunder, buddy.
I'm sorry.
But that was... I've never really participated in any drinking games, but it was... Or I never did... like standard drinking games, but the one that we made up was that one.
The moose.
Katie's just doing a moose impression for no reason right now.
And there's a little guy on the cup. You gotta take him off before you drink. That's the other one.
It's a card based game that kids in high school play.
Kids in it's so fun. Need a moose.
Yeah.
I wish at this time we had the video podcast.
The video podcast of Katie doing the moose.
She's just doing a moose impression, talking about taking a little guy off of her cup and drinking.
With the New Year's Eve party that we had where we were playing zombies, back before Zombicide existed, we had a bunch of gin, a bunch of vodka, and whenever somebody would make a mistake in the game or die in the game, they had to take a shot, and we didn't have shot glasses. We just had bowls. Why don't we actually schedule? I know Brian doesn't like drinking that much.
He does not.
But obviously, four fifths of the podcast likes to drink, and I'm sure we get some other. I mean, Jeremy
Jim.
Would like
Kofu would
Jeremy
join, yeah.
Jim. Why Jordan don't we join. Actually have a day of board games and actual drinking?
I would do that.
If they don't want to participate in it, then they don't.
And, like, we could do it at my place in case someone, like, winds up not being able to drive. We have plenty of places for you to crash to.
That would be a good idea.
Well, the after Christmas party will have drinking. I mean, but the purpose
be a
won't
lot of people
be to
there.
Drinking.
That, yeah,
and it won't be.
Be
board. I mean, it'll be more party games than board games.
Yeah. Just lay down a tarp in the basement.
Cast. Yeah.
And lay down a giant tarp in the basement. So when people do get sick or...
That's what bathrooms are for, Andy. But, we're grown-ups now.
Have you heard my drunk story? My first time throwing up?
I don't want to know about
then
you needing to lay down a tarp
around
in someone's basement.
A garbage can. My God, how old are you?
Do we need to put a feed bag on you like a horse with just straps behind your ears?
No, it would just be like... No.
Oh, that'd be foul.
It would be pretty foul, yeah.
So anyways, game we played in college once. So there's a dice game you play in bars called 7-14-21.
Okay, I don't actually know that one.
Basically, you just pick a number on the dice, and there's 7 of them, and you shake it, and then you're the first person to get 7 picks a drink, person who gets 14 buys a drink, person who gets 21
has to drink it. Yeah.
So there was a party we were doing So this was everyone I worked with in the cafeteria, all the student managers. We're having a party to celebrate graduation for people making actual manager. So the entire staff was there. We were playing 7-14 because we had a... because we just brought a bottle to get into the party. So that was problem number one, was that game only works when you have that slowdown with people getting money out.
21, yeah.
So there was five of us playing it. And we were playing it so fast we had to have a dedicated bartender. And every drink was different, ranging from, you know, vodka, Southern Comfort. I think there may have been an Everclear shot slipped in there somewhere. Oh. A homemade grape wine.
Beer before liquor, never sicker.
It was really bad. So out of the five of us playing, I ended up throwing up while asleep. My roommate threw up on my car on the way home. Thankfully, my girlfriend was driving. She was really thrilled that weekend to be coming down to visit.
I'll bet she was.
So out of the five of us playing, four of us were horrendously hungover the next day. Three of us had puked, and then the fourth one, who is someone, a female who about Katie size, was still completely batshit drunk and really bubbly, and we all wanted to punch her. And by the way, then us and the other 12 of us who were at this party had to all go back into the cafeteria and work.
Oh,
making eggs while hungover, when you're making eggs a gallon at a time,
you don't wanna throw up.
Is bad.
Yeah.
And now I don't drink.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's weird.
I will say that something that none of us mentioned but should be mentioned as an excellent drinking game also, even though the drinking is not technically part of the game, is Ship Captain Crew.
I was about to say that Ship Captain
Crew. Well, I've done like bar dice, you know.
Mm-hmm. But Ship Captain Crew, it's really best when at least most of you are drinking.
Yeah.
I think.
Bowling is a good drinking game.
Also true.
Bowling is good when there's music playing in the background.
Oh, yeah, no, really don't get into that.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, tomorrow's the last day of that league, so we get to move on in our lives.
Except for the people who make the playoffs.
Has this podcast been 4 hours long? Tomorrow just, is the
playoff.
Oh, tomorrow
is the playoff.
Tomorrow's it.
Oh. If you're in first place, you play the second place team to decide which of you is first place.
Oh.
Tomorrow's it.
Tomorrow. Sexy.
Yeah.
So is this hour three of our
podcast?
Yeah,
we got to cut this thing. Yeah, we're going forever. Yeah,
thank you for joining 52. Us for episode 137 of Muse on Minis.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
that was a long ass episode. So, thank you for listening to Muse on Minis, episode 103.
Hey, way to be late on the ball, Dan.
Dan just made that joke.
God damn it!
Shut up, Gimp.